Hello, and welcome to the Negative World Podcast, the podcast about video games for the Nintendo fans at NegativeWorld.org. This is episode 51. This episode is being recorded on Friday, August 9th, 2013. I'm your host, Steven, or as known on the boards, Dr. Finkelstein. With me, as always, is my co-host, Joe, a.k.a. Ninsage.
Hello, Steven.
How's it going, Joe?
Just fine, and how are you?
I'm doing okay, except I'm still a little under the weather from being sick almost 2 weeks ago. It was a little over a week ago I got sick, and my throat's very sensitive to anything, so talking might make it tickle, and I might have to cough, so I'll try to mute myself when that happens.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know.
That's terrible. Why even listen to this podcast? Everyone should just do something else.
Yeah, like listen to it upside down. You know, do that instead.
Yeah.
Or cough with me. Every time, here, make it a drinking game. Every time a cough is audibly snuck into the podcast, every time you hear a cough, you take a shot. And actually, I did shots of moonshine in Tennessee the night before I got sick. So I'm thinking the cold air, because I was in Tennessee and with my girlfriend and family, and we had done moonshine shots the day before and then slept in a tent and cold air brushed. So I'm pretty convinced that, like, wrecking my throat with all that moonshine, because it was some authentic shit, and doing that, then the cold probably got my allergies or something messed up, because I've been kind of zonky since then. So, I don't know. Blame it on the moonshine. Blame everything on the moonshine.
Totally.
And that's the drinking game, though, so everyone out there, get your alcohol and let's do this. Episode 51 through 100 will be drinking game.
One each week.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Next week will be every time I start a thought and then before finishing that thought, interject a new thought.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay.
Every time I say "but," you have to. That drinking game was already used in How I Met Your Mother, frankly. So, you can play along with the episode, or you can play along with that show.
Sounds good.
Oh, there was. Just kidding. That was planned, so. Anyway, people listen to this. I'm not sure when you'll be listening to this. I know that, you know, we record on August 9th, but it's not like the episode comes out August 10th. There's a bit of a delay in terms of, you know, getting it to our editor, and then, you know, he has a busy schedule, and then it gets back to me, then I have to do some finessing, and make the enhanced podcast and stuff like that. And I apologize with episode 50, because you've probably been waiting a long time for it. By the time you hear this, you've definitely been able to hear episode 50, and hopefully you've heard it. But it was a bad time for that in our schedule, it was a bad time to have an episode be so delayed. I apologize. But Joe and I did record the 50, as you know now, and I'll get it out there very soon. It's the weekend, and I'm still super busy, and I haven't had a chance to rest since I was in a whole other state for like 10 days. So, and then even before that, I was having some personal issues here at home, and everything's cool now, so nobody has to worry about anything, but, I wasn't unable to really work on anything, during that time. So again, I appreciate everyone's patience every episode, regardless if it's egregious like this, or if it's even a day after 2 weeks or whatever. We do try and we do care. We love Nintendo. We love you guys. So yeah. Joe apparently has no opinion on that. He's like, I didn't do shit. I did my part, man.
I just talk on him. You know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But yeah, so thanks to everyone who listens. I mean, I feel bad every single time that I don't get it out very fast. And so I feel bad a lot. I feel horrible. I have a low self-esteem because of this podcast.
Be silly.
That's why I'm going to play the drinking game along with everybody tonight. Because I need to drink away the tears.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to finish this podcast on my own.
No, it's all right. The good thing is I love to fucking talk, so I'm sticking around, buddy.
Cool.
Yeah. What we have lined up tonight pretty much is just we got a lot of now playing. Despite my lack of free time, I've been able to sneak in some handheld stuff, a little bit of a new game, and even tackle some on the backlog, a short game on the backlog for Backlogist. So I got stuff to talk about. Joe, you've got stuff to talk about. And then we'll discuss a little bit of the Nintendo Direct from Wednesday. Not a whole lot new. with that one, but what the hell? Let's talk about it a little bit. So, without further ado, Joe, what have you been playing, man?
Well, I've been playing a couple of games on my 3DS. Games that I got in early July for my birthday. First of which is Etrian Odyssey 4, which is a game that I basically learned about from the Negative World forums, because I think it was Devoid who had a thread about the... I can't remember if it was about the series in general or about this fourth game being, you know, a forthcoming release or what, but I just looked into it, and then there was a demo on the eShop, and I just thought it was like a really quirky, interesting take on the, you know, JRPG formula. So I got the fourth game, and geez, I don't know how many hours I am into it. I think I'm a fair ways in, but I think it's a really, really long game because I'm in basically the third world, and I'll describe the general gameplay in a minute. But so I'm in the third world, and I thought, like, you know, I've been playing for a while. I thought, oh, I must be, you know, maybe halfway through the game or something. I looked at the list of the different, like, the bestiary, I don't know how you pronounce that, but the list of,
I guess.
Yeah, the list of enemies that you've encountered, right? So I was just scrolling through, and I just, you know, for anything that you haven't met yet, it just has a line with question marks. And so I was going, and I went through like the first like 50 or 100 guys or something, and then it was just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lines with just question marks. So I have no idea what's in store for me for the rest of this game. I don't know if these games are like I said, I'm in the third area. I don't know if there's like two dozen or what, or if it just gets really, like, if the diversity of monsters just goes off the charts after, you know, as I continue the game. But so there's still a lot to do, even though I feel like I'm fairly far into it. But so the way that these games work, if anyone is not familiar, it's basically like a typical turn-based RPG. You are able to craft your party from the get-go, so it's kind of like Dragon Warrior 3, where you know you don't have set characters. You begin the game and you just pick, I want, you know, this class and this class and this class, and you make a party of five characters and you take them out and, you know, see what works, and then you can go back and create new characters if you don't think a certain class is working for you or what.
So it's pretty much fully customizable?
Yeah, huh. Completely.
Even down to, like, the name of the person?
Yeah, you give them names. I named mine, I went in with obscure colors. So you also have to name your guild. So I named my guild Chroma, which just means color. And then I went with, like, just all these different weird names for obscure colors. And it was kind of based on, because the one of them I named Sage after, you know, Insane.
Sage, yeah, makes sense.
So and that's like a certain shade of green or whatever. So I just looked up all these other crazy colors like Nacarac and Melanic and Minium, and so those are my party members. But so the fighting is totally turn-based, and it's the kind of view, again, like early Dragon Quest, where you just see the enemy, you don't see your party at all, which kind of works well in the 3D. You know, you just get like a 3D first person perspective of the enemies. But what is so unique about this series, I think its defining feature, is that it's largely based on navigating these dungeons, and you do not have an auto map. You are responsible for making the map by yourself. The one thing it does for you is, as you walk along this grid, it does mark where you have been, so it's an auto map in that sense, but it doesn't give you any details. So if you want to mark, you know, like, well, this is a wall that I can't get through, then you have to draw the little line around the grid. And if you want to say, like, oh, here's a spot where you can mine things, or here's a hidden passage, you know, you gotta mark all that on the lower screen, on the touch screen with your stylus. And I know that it you know, it sounds like tedium, and it sounds like work, and it sounds like the kind of thing that, you know, most games have advanced so that you don't ever have to do. It really is fun, and I don't know why it's fun, but I enjoy making the map, and I think, honestly, I get, like, this weird nostalgia for, you know, back in the early days when you would have to make maps for yourself for games, and it was fun. I mean, it was enjoyable. I feel like I'm playing Final Fantasy I all over again, even though the gameplay actually has
evolved
very little to do with Final Fantasy I. So, but yeah. So, the other sort of interesting thing about this game is like you are really based in your sort of hub town, and that's where you have different the weapon shop and the inn that you can stay at, and then this sort of like, I guess it's sort of like a dance club or something, but it's where you get quests and such, and you report to the local count and everything. But none of it, you don't walk around. It's just, you just have a list of different locations, and you just click through them and, you know, hit A, and then all of a sudden you're in the weapon shop or whatever. So even though you spend a lot of time in this hub town, you don't navigate the town like you would in, again, most other RPGs. It's extremely basic in that sense. It's basically you can click to leave town, and then you get a choice of if you want to fly your airship, to a dungeon you visited before. Most of the time you can go straight there, or you go to the general land, which is what I was describing earlier. And so far I've seen three of those general lands, and the dungeons are a subset of the lands. And even as you're going through these different lands, it's like you won't be able to do the whole thing in one go. Like, it's sort of, like how games like Metroid would create these like artificial barriers where, you don't have a certain weapon, so you can't get through there just yet. So the way this game works is like, there'll be parts of the first land that you can see, but you can't get to because when you start, like, your airship can't fly high enough, for instance. So you can see them, and maybe you make note of them on your map, and then you'll know, okay, I'm going to come back later. So for instance, I just did a quest last night where I was supposed to find this one tree, but, there was this, I saw a tree on my map, but I couldn't get to it because there was this one monster that was way too strong, and he was like literally guarding it. Like his little path is just like literally walking around this tree, just getting in between you and this tree. So I had to just wait and sort of do other stuff for a long time and level up, and then eventually get strong enough that I could beat this monster and then go past him and then get to the tree and then finish that quest. So there are a number of non-linear elements because of the way that the game is designed.
So in that regard, it's kind of different than Final Fantasy I. I mean, you're getting that kind of Final Fantasy I vibe in terms of, I guess, the way that you have to handle some of the progression, but yet it's kind of not really novel per se, but just, you know what I mean?
Certainly. Different than
it's designed in a more mature way as far as your thought process. It's not so linear. It's
It's really kind of, you really don't know where exactly you're supposed to go next. I mean, because you will, when you get to a new land, you might see two or three different dungeons that you can access, but you don't know if one has substantially more difficult monsters in it, which is supposed to sort of silently indicate to you that you shouldn't be here yet. Or if the other one has more of the quests that you happen to be working on at the time, so all of that is really up to you to discover. And it's kind of fun. It's, it's made me approach the game with like a really, just sort of like, I want to use the word casual, but that's a very loaded term, but like, I just feel like I can just play it and kind of wander around and, I don't know. Normally when I play games, I feel like I have to have like a purpose. Like I have to have an objective. Like I'm going to, turn the game on and I'm going to do this, this, and this for so many hours. And, when I turn the game off, I will feel that I accomplished something. But this game is really like, there's no rush to the end or to get anywhere. It's really a lot of exploring and thinking and analyzing and, you know, it's very different. It's very different than a lot of RPGs that I've played. And there's something about that sort of quiet draw that the game has that has really just hooked me for the entire series. So I know that they are remaking the first game for 3DS, and that's supposed to come out, I think, maybe only in Japan in the next couple months, but I do believe it has been confirmed for the West, and I think I just saw yesterday about pre-order bonuses and stuff. So, you know, I'm all in. I'm really excited for that, and I hope that I am even close to done with this game by the time that one comes out, because like I said, I mean, this could be immense. I mean, it's very difficult to tell.
Well, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Had you seen anything about this game or series, or had it ever crossed your radar?
It's crossed my radar a little bit in hearsay from other podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I know it's very good from what I've heard. It's pretty highly praised.
Oh, yeah. Because a lot of this sort of tedium, I'm sure, would turn a lot of people off.
From the perspective I've gathered is that people who play this game and enjoy it kind of expected that. Mm. And so they're appreciating it for what it is, despite, you know, maybe some sort of repetitious flaws.
Yeah. I also worth mentioning that this is the first game that has a mode where you, it's basically an easy mode. Cause I guess this series is also known for its intense difficulty. I don't typically play games for challenge. I don't like to be frustrated.
More and more these days, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I want a challenge, but who said it? I think it was on another podcast for sure, but somebody implied that, you know, when you're younger, you have more time for things and for games, and you have less games, or you had less games to play, so you spent more time with them. But nowadays, there's just almost a plethora of games out there, and you don't have all the time in the world. So you kind of, like, for me anyway, I prefer to have games that are challenging, but not so challenging I'm going to be stuck in them forever. Because I want to kind of get through the experience. I want to experience it and then move on.
Right. So that's the mode I'm doing. And as far as I know, that mode allows for two key differences. One is that just strictly, I guess, all the monsters are just much easier. Which, I mean, I feel that the difficulty is, like, perfect. So if it was substantially more difficult than this, I can't even imagine playing it. And the other difference is that if you die in the original mode, your only option is to load up your previous save. Anything that you have, you know, all your level grinding, all of the items you acquired or bought, you know, that's all gone in the original mode. So, but in this easy mode, it's just like you die, and I think you lose either half your money or a certain amount of your money, and you just get warped back to town. So that is, you know, that is very reasonable, in my opinion. Because, you know, this game, you do die every so often. I mean, it is a real occurrence in this game, as opposed to some other series where it's like you never really close to dying.
And when you die, do you lose a character like in Fire Emblem, or...?
Oh, no. Okay. No, just everyone gets wiped out, and you wake up at the end, and a certain
Pokemon
is gone. Yeah.
And most other RPGs.
Yeah. So I think that this mode is just perfect. And if the previous mode was too much of a barrier for, you know, for people, then I could really understand that. And I hope that going forward, I hope that, like, as they're remaking the first one and, you know, any others they release, I hope that they keep this mode in mind, because it might be a little bit too much for me if they didn't have this. You know, like I said, I enjoy wandering around and doing all that. But if I was wandering around for an hour and then all of a sudden ran into a monster I wasn't prepared for and then lost all that, that would not be very fun. So that's my thoughts on that game. The only other thing I've been playing is a game that you are familiar with.
Okay.
It's called Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Oh, yeah, that old thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you might have heard about that.
Which lately, for me, it has been common old things. I haven't had time to sit down with it, which is really depressing me. But
that's so sad.
But you, I believe, have had a lot of time with it, huh? I mean,
yes.
When did you get it exactly?
Just about a month ago. Just a little over a month ago.
Okay. So that means that you've had a lot of time to actually get into the into the game, you probably have some shops that have upgraded. Mm-hmm. You've got the ball rolling.
I liked the way you put it because I was playing it just like I was approaching it like I would typically approach any new game, where I was just, you know, playing it for, you know, whenever I could find time, and for long stretches of time. And I told you that I felt like after the first maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I was starting to maybe run out of things to do. And then you said something to the effect of, well, you're probably done with the sprint of the game, but now the marathon begins, or something like that.
That's right.
And I think that was a very good way to put it, because I think, you know, really after you break the seal on the game, it's like once you get to the meat of it, it's really the kind of game where you just, you know, sort of like check in,
yeah,
every day or every other day.
Like today at lunch, you know, I had some food and then I turned it on really quick and I went and got my shrunk emotion.
Ah, yes.
And then, you know, put it away because I don't have time for it. But I at least want to get that before 8 o'clock, because I keep forgetting to even open my DS before 8 o'clock. And so, you know, that's been. Mm-hmm. Been going on. That's kind of been my play, and then I try to play it a little bit at night. So you're kind of in that mode now too?
Yeah, pretty much, where every day it's like I have this sort of this checklist of you know, this order in which I do things. It's like, first get out the shovel and the watering can, go water any flowers that are about to die, go dig up the fossils, sell any fossils that aren't gonna, you know, that aren't new. Also, hit the rocks. Got to find the money rock every day. Mm-hmm. And then the fake rock. So that's also with the shovel.
Yeah, that's always funny because you get used to your town and then you're just walking around and you realize that doesn't seem right. And you just know.
I know. I love that. It's so funny because every time I see that rock out of place, I feel like, who do you think you're fooling? You're right. Not a real rock.
There was a part in my town. I mean, it was a while ago, so I kind of don't remember. But I have some flower formations for design purposes, and suddenly there's a rock smack dab in the middle of my design, and I was like, "Well, that wasn't there yesterday." You know, it was just kind of funny. It did almost like there's like Pikmin underneath it, who just keep running around your town or something, or like, you know, one of your villagers just like doing that to piss you off. You know. Mm-hmm. But,
you know, question about the money rock. What is the, I can only ever get 8 things to pop out.
Let's see. As far as I know.
Wait, no, 7. Sorry, 7.
Okay. It is 8. You can surround, yeah, you can surround the rock with it.
I've never been fast enough.
Are you just hitting it, you know, bare knuckle, so to speak, or are you putting a wall behind you so you don't fall back?
No, I just try to hit it fast.
That's why, because every time you hit it with the shovel, you slightly bump back. Mm-hmm. And that it's really hard or possibly impossible to get all 8 without having some sort of buffer. So something that you could do is just dig a hole behind you. Mm-hmm. But I'd recommend digging 3, because that way you are guaranteed to not move, because you'll shift in one direction.
Right.
If you just have one hole, and so this way you kind of will shift into a pocket and you'll be fine. If there's a tree there, you can use that as well. If it's near a building, use that to your advantage. But it also can be kind of tedious to dig 3 holes behind every hole.
Exactly.
Rock. So,
okay. Well, good to know.
At some point, I mean, it brings you a lot of bells. You get like 1,600 or 16,000 something. So it can be a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't go to the island and beetle hunt, which is like a big deal. But
love the beetles.
But I just haven't had time to do that, frankly, so I probably should be hunting that money rock. But that means you drink, everybody, by the way. But yeah, so you do that, and that kind of helps you out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then I go check out all the shops. I've been buying saplings every day because I want to get that golden axe eventually. I think I have to buy 50 or something.
Wait, there's ROMs in this game?
What?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Have you been buying flowers as well?
I have been, but I forgot why.
Tell me why I've been buying. Because you'll get a silver watering can for getting 50 of those.
Gotcha. Well, that should be pretty soon then, because it's 2 a day, right?
Yeah. And I kept waiting. I kept thinking, "Come on, today's the day," and it wasn't. I was like, "Son of a bitch!" And then randomly I bought him, and then he actually stops you after you buy him and says, "Hey, you know what? You've been buying a lot from my shop. Let me give you this."
So he'll
flat out tell you. So it's not something that you have to get in the mail or anything like that.
Oh, that's good. Well, because it's hard to tell the difference between some of the, like a silver watering, like the default watering can is kind of
silver,
silverish. Yeah. So sometimes I see it for sale in the shop, and every time I go and check. But
yeah, definitely no. You don't have to worry about that. It's definitely not for sale.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's cool.
I would recommend having a slot open because I don't know if it'll not tell you if you have a full slot and he can't give it to you.
Interesting.
Although my guess is he probably would say it and then be like, "Oh, well, you know, you don't have enough room, so I'll give it to you later."
Yeah. That's I like
how
that little
slot
guy.
Sounds in my head, by the way.
He's cute. He's so forgetful.
Yeah. No, Leaf is pretty good. He's one of my favorite characters from this. I think he was in previous versions, but I don't really remember. So I don't know. He might not have been.
Yeah. So, yep, do my shopping. I still haven't found that me pair of shoes yet. Still a little unhappy with my brown loafers, but you know, I'm looking for like a good classy pair of sneakers.
Yeah, I've got what could probably be like Sonic the Hedgehog feet. They're just blue, and they kind of clash with my frog suit because I'm wearing the entire frog costume.
So, I didn't even know there was a frog costume.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like frog costume, like Mario's frog costume, but, you know, we got a frog shirt or frog tee, I guess, and then green pants and a frog hat. I can let you catalog it if you'd like.
Sweet, because I got a bear hat thing, which I'm pretty proud of.
Yeah, it's similar to that. Have you actually been to my town yet?
I don't know. We played together once or twice, and I can't remember if
I went. First time was at someone else's town entirely. It was a third party.
Interesting.
And I think I might have came over to your place once, but I didn't stay long. Again, I just haven't had a lot of time to play.
What is the name of your town, and what does it mean again? Because I just think of Lucario every time I hear your town.
No, my town name is Lucilla.
Okay.
And that's Italian for firefly.
Oh, you told me that.
Yeah, and that was derived from all my towns previously have been like pleasant names in different languages. So there's Plaisant, which is French for pleasant. Then there's Odayaka, which is Japanese for something kind of related, some sort of synonym to pleasant. And then I also had Tranquil, which is English for tranquil. And so I was trying to think of something like that, and I couldn't really find any names that were 8 characters or less, but also were very kind of serene sounding. Some of them, especially some Japanese words, were just like horrendously bad.
Yeah, 8 characters is pretty stringent.
You know,
for
it
a
is.
Town
we'll
name?
Get into that in just 2 seconds because I do have a comment on that. I agree. Right. But my girlfriend, she studied Italian last semester, and we have a little inside thing with fireflies just to our, you know, puppy love romanticism. Just kind of was part of our life and everything. So I was like, you know what? That sounds pretty nice in Italian, so I'll go with that. It's kind of an homage to her.
Cool.
This is my first Animal Crossing game where I was into it and I had a girlfriend at the same time. So, you know, I figured why not?
Why not?
But back to the name thing, that is kind of a restriction that is kind of bogus.
Yeah, I mean,
I understand the point of limiting each cartridge to one town, and if you want to start a new one, you have to wipe it. Because if you have multiple towns, that could potentially maybe allow you to trade with yourself and do some weird things that I guess kind of break the spirit of the game. But having 8 characters, come on.
Yeah, that's just weird.
I mean, my name alone is 7 characters, and sometimes some games to this day still don't allow that. And it's like, are you kidding me?
It's just odd. I don't know. I have no explanation for it.
And I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what the explanation is. I'm sure back in the day there was a reason for like bits and how much memory you know, something could hold, that kind of thing.
Sure. But there is a lot of text in this game, so yeah. I'm pretty sure they could have handled for something as major as your town name.
Yeah. I don't know. I get not allowing too many, because you don't want someone who's like, my town's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and stuff like that. But, I mean, even 10 would have helped a lot of people. When we were playing the, not playing, but when we were kind of preparing and discussing the game before it came out, a lot of people were putting out the names they wanted to have, and they were 9 characters.
Yep.
So let's go into the double digits, you know, just at the bottom of that.
Yep. Because my town, the town of Owataku, which is obviously Iwata's last name, and then I was looking for, like, I knew that in Japan there was, you know, like, suffixes that would, you know, indicate a town, which is not unlike every other part of the world, but, you know, like how, like, parts of Europe will have, like, Dissenburg, and, yeah, you know, Middle East has Dissenstan and whatever. So I was looking up those, and most all of them are three or four characters, and so I just couldn't use them. The only one, Ku, was the only one that is even remotely applicable at two characters, and like that means ward, or, you know, subdivision of a town, something like that. So, you know, that's fine, but it's not what I wanted, but sure, it's what I had to deal with.
It's not what you wanted?
True.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So who are some of the people in your town?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you some of my favorites. Yeah. My favorite is Kevin the pig.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Kevin?
No.
Okay.
I've got Spork the pig in my town. He's pretty awesome.
Oh, that's
cool. He and I go fishing. In fact, I think I'm going to use that screenshot for the Enhanced podcast.
Cool.
For this segment.
I looked him up on Nookipedia and found that I guess he's named Kevin because he is a pig, and pigs yield bacon. Kevin Bacon.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
You know, I don't know how much, I wonder sometimes how much of that's true and how much of that's just kind of conceived after the fact.
Oh, I like that stuff, though. That's fun.
Although, I wouldn't put it past Nintendo, especially
especially whoever made this game.
The localization team for this game, yeah.
Yeah. But so he's a favorite, and then next I gotta say is Pico, who is a little, she's like a polar bear cub.
Oh, man, really?
Yep.
How cool is that? Awesome.
And she's got a whole, like, obviously her name is Pico, she's got a whole Chinese vibe, so she's kind of like her ears on top of her head are sort of done up, like, almost like Chun-Li's, got the little, like, balls of hair. Thing.
That's
and, like,
amazing.
Her door is Asian and her interior stuff Asian. She's really awesome. And then third is Gwen the penguin, which I didn't even realize until like last week. I was saying to my wife, I was like, oh, she's named Gwen because she's a penguin. And my wife was like, seriously, you're just realizing this now? But
hey, I just realized it. So and she's been in the series for a long time. I had her once.
So, yeah, she's cool. You know, she's not too anything, but she's a penguin and she looks cool, so I like her.
Yeah.
My least favorites, one of them I've gotten rid of, which was great. Took a lot of doing, but finally she left. She was Sylvia the kangaroo.
Why wouldn't you like a kangaroo?
Well, it's just kind of, there's just something really off-putting about how, like, there's a little kid in her pouch that no one is addressing.
Was she kangarooed?
No.
No? Okay. Just checking.
It's just like, no one is acknowledging that there's another person. You know, it never speaks. She never speaks about it.
Hey, but what about when she doesn't have a person inside you, or inside her, and you say, hey, are you, you have a person inside you? I mean, when that happens in real life, that you're just calling a fat person. You know, you're paying attention to it, so.
I see. So yeah. It's a politeness thing.
Yeah, it's a politeness thing.
Okay. Well, I thought it was a weirdness thing, so.
No, I guess it is kind of weird. It's kind of like how Kangaskhan also had a thing in itself, a baby.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, why, like, what if Pikachu ran up and just, like, electrocuted the baby? Like, what would happen in the battle if that happened? So, I don't know.
No, that's 100% true. I mean, like, I thought the limit was 6 people in your party for Pokemon, but now here, now you've got 7. Anyway. Yes, and I really shout out to Wicked Symphony and Vids from the forums, because first of all, they've been helping me greatly. First of all, Wicked Symphony is on pretty much 24 hours a day, which is extremely
cool. Yeah, but she's been a great help to me too. She's been very generous and she's very fun to hang out with. Her town's awesome.
Yes, totally awesome. Starlight, everyone go check out Starlight.
In fact, she really should submit her Dreamtown code for the thread so we can actually go view it whenever we want. Cause
yeah,
I highly recommend it. Her house is amazing, and I was there like a month ago, and I'm sure it's even better now.
Mm-hmm. So she had a townsperson named Derwin, and he's a little duck or platypus.
Yeah, yeah.
Little dork. But she wasn't too crazy about him, and I thought he was hilarious, so I really wanted him. And we've sort of, the three of us lately have been working in tandem, because he was going to be moving out, and I was going to have one of my people was moving out on the same day, which was yesterday. And we were trying to coordinate it, so I was going to talk to Derwin at the right time and have him move over, but I don't know. There's just something. It's just not happening. I think because my guy hasn't moved out yet.
Hey, don't be discouraged, because the guy that I couldn't stand and I got rid of my town, unfortunately, like a week later, entered my girlfriend's town.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. She's pissed about it because she hates him, too. It's poor Ricky the squirrel. But
sounds vaguely familiar.
I'm just not a fan of unibrowed squirrels. Just
no, why do they have, like, multiple squirrels that have unibrows?
I don't know. And you know, when I see them in real life, I get pissed off too, so. It's like, get a razor. Deal with
that. Yeah, yeah, truly. And, you know, speaking of that, I street passed with a friend of mine last week at his wedding reception, which shows you how awesome this guy is.
It wasn't me, right?
No.
That sounds like something I do.
Yeah, no, he's pretty awesome.
Hell, I should put that in the invitations. Buy a 3DS. If you want to give me a gift, buy a 3DS and street pass me.
So
actually, I'm just going to have my reception at a McDonald's. That's the better idea.
Oh, nice.
Now with the new upgrade to the 3DS.
Yeah, Nintendo's out.
I hope they're not already booked, though, because that's probably a popular thing in certain areas.
Could be. But so I got one of his people moved into my town, and I'm going to keep them just because, you know, the novelty of having a friend's former resident. But it's a sheep, and the sheep, they look all right. They look gigantic. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're cute. They're so fluffy. That's fine. But it's a female sheep, and it has horns. That's just not right.
Well, so I don't judge. So
it's a little weird, but I guess it's the details that I shouldn't really get caught up in. But so anyway, Animal Crossing is awesome. What has your experience been like with this game, and, you know, especially versus the previous games that you've played?
Okay, well, first, I didn't really talk about my town last time, so I'll go through it, because I know people are dying to hear what's happening in Luchula. Well, hopefully, if you've heard this by now, episode 50 started with a fun little radio play on the radio type voice about my town and everything. So if you couldn't understand what town name I said, it was Luchula. And that said, right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I got 9 people, so I have room for one more person after kicking Ricky out finally. That was pretty awesome. Before him, I'd kicked out Hazel, who's another...
No one likes Hazel.
No, she's just horrible. I don't know. Although, you know what? There are some people on... And we'll get into this later, too. The Animal Crossing Plaza that just was released for the Wii U, which is pretty cool. But people, you know, you can post on any... you can post based on the characters that are in the plaza, so you can kind of go to any character that you like and say, oh, you know, I have fun with this guy, or here's a picture of me and this guy. And I went into Ricky's thing just to post, like, hey, I'm glad he's gone, and that kind of thing. And there's some people out there, though, who are just like, oh, I want him so bad, or yes, he's in my town finally. And I'm just thinking, what the hell?
But isn't that so cool how, you know, everyone's got their own...
Well, it makes me really happy, because when I went into Ricky's house and I took a picture of myself doing the happy singing emoticon or whatever around all of his boxed up items, I felt kind of shitty about that afterwards. And I was like, and I told my girlfriend, I said, I hope that he finds a happy home, though. There's got to be someone out there who appreciates him. And apparently there are, so unfortunately he took a wrong, you know, turn in Albuquerque and ended up at my girlfriend's town of, the hell is her town name now? It's been so long. Elefante, I believe. So,
okay.
Which is Italian for elephant. And, so yeah, I don't know. But I didn't care for him, I didn't care for her. I luckily did get started off with Sydney, and if you could guess, it's a koala.
Oh, I didn't even know there were koalas.
Yeah, and she's a sweetheart. She's a really cool koala. She keeps to herself quite a bit. And I've got Jitters, who he's like a bird that likes to work out and stuff like that. The workout mentality is always so funny to me.
That's what Kevin is. That's my My boy Kevin is one of the workout types.
And it's, I'm not trying to complain about my characters per se. I mean, I've got a cat named, I guess, Ankh-Ka. I don't know how to
pronounce it. Yeah. The Egyptian thing.
Yeah, she's like Egyptian and whatever. But I have mostly cats, dogs, and birds, which is so boring in a way. You know, they're just so plain. This game has a lot of new characters that I've never kind of experienced before, animal type wise. Like, you had the sheep, you had the kangaroo. I've never had those before, so I would like to experience that, you know? And so, I don't know, I'm kind of working on maybe getting rid of people, but I don't hate anyone else right now, so, but I just want some variety in there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I look at my map right now, I've got Butch, who's a dog. I've got, you know, Jitter's the bird, which is kind of a boring thing. Spork's the pig, he's there. But then I've got Anka, who's the cat. Olivia, who's a cat that I've had since the beginning of the whole series. So I was kind of happy to see her, yeah. It was kind of cool to see her coming to town. But then I've got Jacques, who's another bird. Punchy, who's another cat. And Punchy, thing about him, he sent me the same letter 4 times now. Asking me, he says, I'm doing my crossword puzzle. And I'm stuck on a word. It's a 9-letter word for... And then he pretty much... The answer's crossword. So I'm pretty sure he's got dementia. And I even responded to him after the 3rd one saying, hey, here's a tip. You know, it's crossword. And he, then and then just today I got that letter again. So the poor guy's going, I gotta send him to a home or something. That's sad. But the last person in my town is actually one of my favorites because I've created a whole backstory for her. Her name's Pinky, and she's a pink bear. And okay. I swear, she's the cougar of my town. She's the one going around, knocking on doors, kind of flirting with everybody. She's looking for a guy. She's like Sex and the City in Animal Crossing.
Okay.
And it's creepy, because now that I've created this mentality, you'll find that if you're in my town, like, I've left, say, Nook's shop, and I'm kind of standing right, I'm about to go into, across the train tracks back in my town. And I've put the game down before, and then out of nowhere, she just runs across. Like, I swear, she's always, like, peeping me out, you know? She randomly shows up everywhere. I go to get coffee. There she is in the coffee shop or whatever, which is probably something you haven't experienced yet. But
no, not yet.
It is part of the game, and they've done it differently this time than they ever have before. But she's just hilariously kind of whatever. She goes to DJ KK all by herself. Probably to meet guys and stuff like that. I just, I appreciate her effort, and so I kind of encourage that as much as she's also kind of creepy. But she's really funny. And then I've made her. I think right now her phrase is "kiss me."
Oh,
so I've kind of used that that functionality to address her personality.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that you've found a way to have fun with it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, at first I was pimping out Negative World to everybody on the game. I have some people call me Dr. F. Dr. Fink, I think. Yeah, they call me Dr. Fink. And then, I don't know if you're Arrested Development fan?
Oh, no, I probably would be if I took the time to watch it, but I just haven't.
You really should, it's amazing. But this is a reference from season 3 for anyone listening, but I have people calling me Mr. S. And of course, S for Steven instead of F. For Mr. F, which is from the show. But it's funny, it amuses my girlfriend and I, so.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, my experience with it's been pretty good. I know some people from the boards know about the special room I was creating for my girlfriend in honor of her, because as, I don't know if anyone knows this out there, but we're currently in a long-distance relationship. We don't get to see each other very much. She's still going to school and stuff like that. And so Animal Crossing has been a way for us to kind of connect, you know, and spend time together in kind of a fun, unique way. So what I did is when I got my back room of my house, I blocked it off with a bench so she can never go in there by herself, and I just started working on it, and I started putting in... I wish I was in the room right now so I could describe it better, but I was in... I would put in red roses. I had saved some fireflies from July, or whenever it was, June, I think, is when they left. So I stocked up on fireflies just to have those, even though they don't really light up the room or anything.
Uh-huh.
There's this one lamp that's kind of got a red hue to it, so that was kind of like romantic lighting. I got a table. I've got like a chocolate fountain on a desk. I had a little gift for her, which I'll get into in a sec too. And I had a fireplace in the back, and I had some signs that had like hearts, and then I not just my kind of artwork that I've done that you can do anywhere, your designs, but actual like LED signs. There's one in the game and you can customize it.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. So I had it all decked out, and then on the table was some food and stuff. And so when I actually saw her recently, I kind of said, "Hey, let's play." And then I was all dressed to the nines, you know, and in my HHA jacket, because I didn't actually have like a tux or anything. I just couldn't find it or whatever. But yeah, so it was just all nice. And then I told her, I said, "Hey, put on something nice," you know. So she got a cute outfit on that she liked. And then I took her, and then we had quote unquote dinner, you know, which was turkey and New Year's noodles and stuff like that, which I had borrowed from a friend. The New Year's noodles. And actually, so it was just a whole big thing. It was just really sweet. It was nice to do it in person as opposed to, you know, via the web. I mean, it was like a whole 5-minute thing. I mean, this sounds like it's much more elaborate, but it was just a nice thing. But I just wanted to, you know, do something nice and cute and romantic or whatever, and she loved it. And but the turkey thing actually is a really funny story, and I don't want to dwell too long on this game, and, you know, longer, but there's a site that I've talked about called AnimalCrossingCommunity.com, and it's a pretty cool site. I you know, it's a forum, mostly it's just a big forum for Animal Crossing, and there's a lot of people with a lot of different ages, so, you know, your experience may vary. The mods there are incredibly, they're just strict, I would say.
Okay.
I once mentioned, like, I posted some stuff that I had posted on Negative World over there. And the one time it was cool because I didn't, like, mention Negative World. I just posted it. But then the second time I said, "Hey, you know, if you guys like this, there's other stuff at Negative World." And that was just a big no-no. I was, like, trying to steal. I don't know. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not listening to this because, well, they don't necessarily know my username. I don't know. Point is, there's a big trading thing there. Like, threads. There's hundreds of threads a day for trading. It's so big.
Okay.
It's just so many people have found it over the years, and so there's a lot of activity. And I really wanted the turkey because I saw it in the Animal Crossing guide, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool." Turns out the turkey is Japanese downloadable content, and it's not purchasable. So when you catalog it, you can't rebuy it, and that really pisses me off about this DLC stuff. And I'll get into that maybe in a sec. But so apparently, it's infinitely challenging to find, and if you do find it, people want like 20 million for it.
Okay.
I don't have that much time to rack up 20 million. I haven't even earned that much total because my house isn't even paid off yet.
Right.
And it kind of annoys me, this whole concept of, you know, because I have so much time, I can save up all these bells to a point where I get that things should have value, and I'm not trying to say that the market shouldn't exist, even though it is digital goods. I understand that things should take time and people should be compensated for the effort that they put in to get the item. But 20 million for a turkey is just effed up.
Yeah, describe this just so I know I'm picturing the right thing. Is this like a turkey, like a dinner turkey?
Yeah. It's like a Thanksgiving dinner type thing. It's a platter with a full cooked turkey on it.
Gotcha.
And it was just the perfect like food because there isn't a lot of food items out there that just would have fit for my theme. And it was really important for me to get this theme done because it meant a lot to me, you know, personally. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like hunting this thing down. And I was just so pissed off at those forums because of how they handle their infrastructure, I guess. People were just so greedy. There was somebody who wanted Bubblegum KK, the song, and I had it.
Hey, that's the only one I have.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, somebody wanted it, and someone's like, "Oh, well, I'll give it to you for, you know, 10,000 bells," or and they're just, all these things. I'm like, it's an effing song. I said, "Hey, come over to my town. I'll let you catalog it for free." And then I end up giving it to him for free because I was like, "I can order another one." And I know that I'm not everybody, and you can't do that for everything, but whatever happened to people doing nice things for people in a video game? Mm-hmm. I really don't understand why this game, at least with that site, has turned into some sort of feeding frenzy of bell collection and you know, DLC ownership, and it's just sick. So I kind of pissed on a few threads that were really bad. And I probably shouldn't have, because, hey, if they're having fun, they're having fun. I'm not going to knock them for it. But I just wanted that effing turkey, right? So, funny enough, that woman who I first talked to about Bubblegum KK, or no, there's a guy, or I don't know, somebody, some genderless being, I don't know, who wanted Bubblegum KK. I gave it to them. another person asked me because they saw my kindness, I guess, in that thread. And for some reason, it just never happened. We never worked out a time. I never got her friend code. And so we had interacted, but we never actually made the exchange. Well, later there was a thread that was auctioning off some items that were Japanese DLC. One of them was a turkey. And I said, oh, you know, I put in this, but I know I'm going to be outbid because it was like under $1 million. And it's all I had. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of lamented a little bit more. And I kind of went on my rant about why I wanted the turkey. And actually, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. Before this, and don't worry, listeners, this won't take too long. Before this, there was a girl who was really cool, and she was letting people catalog the hell out of all the stuff that was catalogable from Europe and Japan and stuff like that. So, and she said, just give me whatever you feel you want to give. So I was like, sweet. Here's X amount of bells, and I threw in a couple items, I think. And then she let me catalog all this stuff. So when I kind of showed her the prototype room and what I was doing and everything, just because I was just showing it off and whatever, she said that, or later, I think maybe a week later, she had gotten the turkey and the New Year's noodles from a friend. But again, you can't reorder them, so she didn't want to give them to me, but she said I could borrow them for the event. And I was like, that's really nice of her, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, she understands that this ridiculous notion of mine to make some sort of romantic gesture via Animal Crossing... Right. Was worth enough to let me borrow her pretty coveted item. And I actually still am trying to give it back to her. Maybe tonight I'll be able to do it. Her internet's spotty. She's from frickin', I think, Thailand?
Okay.
Or something like that. So she's on the other side of the globe. She's probably sleeping right now. And we're recording this at 7-something Eastern, so... So it was just crazy that, you know, I could connect with somebody from across the globe who helps me get a turkey for my girlfriend. You know what I mean? It's a ridiculous story. So I got it, but I wanted my own because it really bummed me out that I wouldn't be able to keep the room as is after it was all done, because I have no reason to dismantle it. And so I kind of lamented in that one thread I was mentioning, the auction thread, and of course I was hoping that maybe there'd be like a Breakfast Club type moment where like, or just an 80s movie in general type moment where like people see that and they kind of like maybe slow clap in their own mind, and then they kind of like let me have it even though they want it to.
Right.
The next post after mine was, I already have one, but I want it anyway. And then he bids over me. It's like, dick, you know? And so all this freaking work for a jerk, and I was like, ah, screw this. So I went to work, and I get home, and I get a really weird post from the owner of the thing talking about, like, Katrina says that someone's going to come visit my town, and they're going to, if my gate is open, I will be rewarded. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I get another PM from the person who I had talked to about Bubblegum KK before, and I kind of had a feeling what was going on, but I didn't want to believe it. And I open the gates, and she comes in, she drops a turkey on my floor of the ground, and then leaves. I'm like, okay, well, I didn't pay anything for this. Yeah, she just dropped it off. And so 3 PMs later, I realized that I didn't realize this before, but her son was the guy owning that auction. And he actually ran to his mom and was like, dude, look at this guy. It's kind of like sweet what he's trying to do. And then she just happens to know me from a few weeks prior. And there's tons of people on the site. So the fact that this kind of worked out that way was amazing. So she's like, oh, we got to do this for him then. You know, when she heard the story and everything. So it just all worked out. And then I had it. I did borrow the New Year's noodles still. And I'll give those back, but I'll replace that with something else. And the turkey was the big deal for me. So the fact that I like beat the system and didn't have to pay like a billion effing bells for a turkey. Mm-hmm. I felt so happy, and I thanked the hell out of them. I offered them all sorts of things, and they're like, no, don't worry about it. And it made me so happy to see that somebody out there actually is kind in this game. So I don't know how much trading you've done. I know you're not on the website, but I hope that you can find something, you know, like
yeah.
that.
And, no, that's extremely cool. It's yeah. a good story.
And so I try to be helpful with people on the boards. I haven't been able to check the thread in a while, but I was trying to help people too because – I don't see why everything should have a price. It's a fucking video game.
Yeah, seriously. You know? I mean, I literally, you know, I have only been playing for a month. I don't really have that much to give. But I literally already have what I call a free stuff zone, which I have marked off with custom tiles. And it's just, you know, I got one of each different type of fruit. And I put the 4 extra silver slingshots that I've already accumulated, and you know, they're just there for people to take, you know, because I mean the whole game has to, you know, has to on some level be based on just friendly trading, or else what is the point, you know?
Yeah, and you know, back in the day before the internet was so huge, I guess, back in, well, I mean, it was big, I guess, in 2002 when, or 2001, no, 2, I think, when the first one came out. But,
well, but the internet
community wasn't,
consoles wasn't as common, though.
And I remember, I mean, there wasn't that much trading anyway, but the whole mentality was different. I've seen it change over Wild World and over City Folk, and now it's this, and it's just, it made me sick. So I'm so happy to see that there is such kindness around this game. And actually for you, if you only have Bubblegum KK, I'll just grab all my songs out of my player and let you catalog them all.
What does that mean exactly? I know you can order stuff from the catalog, but how do I get something of yours in the catalog?
Your catalog grows as you hold things. So
okay, so if you drop it and I pick it up, it's just,
yeah,
I can
bam, it's in your catalog, and then you can order it yourself.
That's pretty cool.
Now, certain items are non-catalog, or the non-orderable.
Not for sale, yeah.
So you can catalog it, but then you can't buy it yourself. So like the Nintendo items, for instance.
Yep, yep.
And that's why I couldn't get a turkey on my own. And it's frustrating. That part of Animal Crossing really bums me out, because I get the idea of like region-based exclusivity. But why do you have to lock it down so much? It's a freaking video game again. Like, I guess, I know I felt proud having the turkey, but it was more for my girlfriend and, like, the romantic gesture I was doing. It wasn't that I've got this DLC that nobody else does or only the Japanese do. It just seems stupid. It is region locking your downloadable content. And that's, in a game about trading with people, that seems stupid.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I don't think there's any English downloadable content that you can't, you know, buy. So I don't see why other regions kind of get that fun feature of locking things down and we don't, or something. But it would just make it worse if there was more American DLC that was like that.
Yeah, probably.
So it's just all really frustrating, and whatever. I haven't had time to worry about it, but thanks to everyone for listening to that story. The one other thing I'll say really quick, and then we can move on unless there's more you want to say. I really do appreciate and enjoy hearing your thoughts on the game, especially because you've coming in this cold, you know.
I got a couple other things if we have time, but
yeah,
go
yeah.
ahead.
Shit, I don't care. You know, as long as people listen, then that's all good. but I was just, you know, some of my other thoughts that I had. I have been really happy with how the town's been growing in terms of how the shops have been upgrading themselves. And even though this is a marathon mode now and the sprint's over, I feel like just as you kind of really wish for something new does happen. So that's been kind of cool, and I hope you have the same experience with that. But the one thing I realized, and this is because of the plaza that just came out on the Wii U, and again, we'll talk about that briefly later, but you don't see a lot of characters in this game. Back in City Folk, one thing that you really could appreciate about that city that you'd go to, even though it would take a long time to like go to it, and then you'd have to load the town back up, and it was kind of cumbersome, but at least you could see random people who weren't in your town on a daily basis. So you get to interact in a minimal level, at least, with ducks and kangaroos that you didn't have. And so I would appreciate that. And I have a campsite, which is something that you can get, and you probably already have that unlocked, at least, if not purchased, but at least able to be purchased. And that has the same kind of feature, but they only camp once a week, maybe. I haven't had a lot of activity at the campsite. It looks like crap most of the time. It looks like a dump. And I've got a fire pit next to it and an outdoor chair. It's kind of decked out. It's kind of on the cliffside and everything. It's a nice place to camp. But I don't get a lot of visitors, and it's kind of annoying. And then if your town's full, you can't even have a chance of convincing that person into your town. And most of the time, the game naturally fills your town anyway, so it just seems like, I don't know, you're going to bring me a new guy just so he can tell me how much he loves apples because they're my town fruit.
Right.
It's just, there is more that they can do here, and I crave more animal interaction. You know?
Yeah.
I'm asking my own cat to camp in my town. You know, doesn't work like that, but I've been asking him just to have some variety. But
no,
yeah,
I think that's, yeah, I mean, that basically leads into exactly one of the two main gripes I had, which is that it just feels like in a game that's so focused on you customizing your own experience and, you know, literally building your own town, like there are some weird restrictions like that. I really wanted to get rid of some of these townspeople, especially because, as you said, there's so many other cool ones out there, you know. And I found that not only, I mean, I know there's like rumors online of like, oh, you know, you hit them with the net or something, which first of all, I feel bad doing that. Like,
I don't.
Felt like a terrible person.
I love it.
But so, you know, go around hitting them. It all seems to be like superstition. Like, I don't think there's like a hard, definitive way to get people to leave your town. And then there was like, I know other people were talking about, they just assumed when you talked to Isabel about the problematic citizens, that that's one way you could get rid of them.
Oh,
but
no,
that has nothing to do with it.
I've always perceived that as being more about, you know, people who come to your town and they've got naughty phrases or naughty letters.
Right.
And like parental controls is more what that is.
Exactly. So, so like, you know, I just wanted to be able to get rid of them. And now, like, as I was saying with, you know, Vids and, Wicked Symphony of trying to like, you know, coordinate so that I could get this character that they didn't really like, but that I really liked a lot. You know, like if I could have just kicked someone out a day ahead of time or something,
you might have got that character.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you just have so little control. And furthermore, okay, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I know that sometimes, you know, like, I've been really, really nice to Kevin and Pico and Gwen. Like I was saying, like, they're my favorites. And a few weeks ago, you know, Pico was like, oh, I'm thinking about moving. And someone came into my town and they were like, Pico says she wants to move to my town. And I was like, what?
Yeah, and then you run and you slap her across the face.
Exactly. And so I feel like, let's say I hadn't played for like these 2 weeks or something. Is it possible I would log back in and she would just be gone?
I would think that's possible I would think that's a sure thing if you've talked to them and they've stated that. Now, if you've only heard it as hearsay, I think it's also possible. I think that if you don't hear anything at all, I don't think it would do that to you. But still, I mean, if someone says, hey, I think they're thinking of leaving, and then they're sleeping, and then you just don't get to play for, like, 5 days, they might be packed up and ready to go by the time you log back in.
Right. And so basically, all I'm getting at is, it seems like, you know, what is the point of, like, doing all these nice things for people or avoiding the ones you don't like if ultimately it doesn't matter? I mean, I know that in some sense, since this is sort of like a little sociological sort of life simulator, and in real life you can't, you know, you don't have complete control over other people. And
oh, I smack my neighbors with nets all the time to get in the move. Just
and I even, you know, I saw the Animal Crossing anime, and in the anime, and I saw that before I played the game, so I didn't even understand this at the time, but I think what it was replicating was one of the characters towards the end of the movie just moves away without even telling the main character. And I think that was supposed to, you know, mimic what can happen in the game, where it's like, you know, just all of a sudden, as in real life, you know, sometimes a friend just moves and then they're kind of out of your life, you know? So I get that, but I just don't think this is the kind of game where you need that kind of mechanic, where I just don't think it makes sense. Cause now, like, my incentive for, like, oh, you know, stop by my house at 8 o'clock. It's like, well, maybe I'm busy at 8 o'clock and it's not going to matter anyway. So, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, at that point, you're just kind of like whoring yourself out in hopes that they like you enough, you know?
Well, yeah. Isn't that the whole game?
But I think that there could be a happy medium somewhere, because I kind of like the idea of the randomness of it. It's pretty easy to stop someone from moving. You just gotta talk to them and then say, hey, don't move. And they're like, oh,
yeah,
totally. I get it. Yeah, I won't move. Cool.
Yeah.
I think it's stupid that when someone is moving and you talk to them, even if you tell them to move, you encourage them still, like I did with Ricky.
Yeah.
They say, you know what? you're bullshitting me. I think I'll stay now.
Yep.
And it's like, no, I told you to leave. I explicitly ordered you to. And,
yep.
So I don't understand that mechanic, but having a means to maybe, say you could go to your town square and there would be other characters, you could say, talk to them, and if you had space, maybe they'd say, you know what, this is a nice place.
Yeah.
Maybe I should move here. And I guess the campsite does that too, but you don't get enough people.
It's on a much smaller scale.
Yeah, because you don't see a lot of people filtering through there. Mm-hmm. Or what if you could write letters? Maybe there's an option to write letters to anyone, And eventually you can write a letter to a character that's not even in any town you know, but you could, mm-hmm. maybe if you write them enough letters, they might come visit or something.
That actually touches on the last thing I wanted to say, which is also kind of a gripe, which is that I really thought, before I even got the game, I just assumed that like I would be able to write my friends letters and that they would, you know, like my real life friends, and that they would, you know, like they would start their day and, you know, when the little mailbox lights up and, oh, you have a new letter, that like that would be from other users.
Yeah.
But no, that's not how it works at all. You have to actually be in their town to write them a letter.
Yeah, wait, so that's even possible?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're in that person's town, you can go to the mail, the post office, and write them a letter.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the other big gripes about this game.
But it's kind of like, at that point, you're already in their freaking town. Like,
yeah, what's the point? Just,
yeah, like...
Post on their message board or their town board.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, for someone like yourself, who, like, you were a big reason I even checked out Animal Crossing, obviously, and, you know, we've both been real busy for the last month, and you've had some stuff going on, so it would have been cool if I could have, you know, like, written you some letters, and then sign on occasionally.
Instead of me, like, selling some random item or putting it in the retail shop just because I want to get rid of it, I can think, you know what, maybe Joe would like this, but I'm not going to hold on to it forever. If I'll tell you about it, and then I'll reorder it later, but it's in my inventory. How about I just mail it to you?
Oh, totally.
The fact that you can't send people items is one of the worst freaking sins of omission that this game has had.
Yeah, because I was really excited about, at first, before I even investigated this, of just, you know, I was accumulating this stuff. And, you know, some of it I really, really liked, and some of it I was just like, yeah, it's kind of cool, but, you know, I don't really want it. And I was really looking forward to just surprising people with, like, you know, my friend, you know, Lou from Negative Book. You know, like Lou signs on, and bam, there's a Samus mask in his inbox. You know, like, I was really looking forward to that.
No, but instead, I get a shaved ice maker for my mom.
Yeah, I know. It's so creepy to me that I'm getting letters from my mom.
I got something from Dad once, but it seems pretty biased towards mom.
Oh, that's... I didn't even know there was a dad.
And, I think that might have been on Father's Day only, actually.
Ah, interesting.
So, I don't know. I just don't know why they haven't expanded on those aspects. And I feel like in previous games in the past, that was an option. I swear to God, but I just, you know, it's been so long I can't recall. And I never used it that extensively, but it's just cool when it's there. Mm. I don't know if maybe having a console version will change that mentality. Maybe the fact that you can't take your 3DS with you to a friend's house and go, maybe because it's harder to maybe go over to people's places and, since it's not handheld, they're not always on like they kind of are now, where I can be on a lot more than I would be normally. Maybe the console version will change that, but maybe we should be tweeting about it to Nintendo and complaining.
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, with these things, which really are very, let me just say to be clear, are very small complaints in what is otherwise an awesome and very unexpectedly pleasant game. You know, I just think of it as like, these are the things like, by the time the next game comes out, it'll, you know, these are like the small incremental changes that, you know, we'll be so psyched out of our minds about, and when really we should have had them.
Oh yeah,
already.
We're in game four here. This is we're well into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you can write letters to your own townspeople, who, as you said, basically, you know, they can't read them, but I can't like send you a letter. That's just weird.
Well. And I kind of actually used this today because I had no pen and paper near me, so I used my game as a notepad. Mm-hmm. But, sending letters to future me never makes sense to me. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
I can do that, but I can't message, you know, present Joe.
Yeah, I saw that as an option. Yeah. But I don't even know what that's about, so.
I don't know either. But we probably should move on. We've been talking for 50 minutes now about Animal Crossing. So thanks to all who have listened. I mean, it might come up in later podcasts, but we definitely dove into it pretty deeply here.
Well, this is like the Nintendo game of the summer, to be sure, I think. I mean, I was telling you before the podcast, I went into a retro video game store today, and, you know, they had Animal Crossing, the GameCube game, was like prominently displayed on a center aisle. And, you know, there's no way that would be happening if Animal Crossing didn't A, just come out, and B, become such a great success already. Yeah. So I think it's a little justified, but yeah.
Yeah, I am pretty psyched that Nintendo has their biggest Animal Crossing hit ever in their fourth game. That kind of justifies the whole series. It encourages future iterations. It hopefully means that, hey, we did good from City Folk to New Leaf. Let's do that again. You know? Because it didn't pay off the other way.
Yeah.
So hopefully the console version will look amazing and play amazingly. And again, we'll touch upon that very briefly somewhere at the end of this podcast when we mention the Plaza, because the Plaza is kind of a glimpse into the console version, and that's cool. But we'll move on to that later. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm psyched. I'm really glad that you're enjoying it. It sounds like you're having a blast.
Totally.
And even if that blast is a couple minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, I've only had time to buy the song. I guess that's a spoiler. I don't know. But eventually you can actually buy songs instead of just having to get them from KK, which is really
cool. Spoiler!
Which is really cool, because in all games before, you had to get them from KK. And if you only have one character, well, there's 90 songs in the game right now or something like that, and there's 52 weeks in a year. So who's going to play this for almost 2 years just to get every song? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot easier to get the songs, and so that's cool. But so I've been doing that, buying the Sprout, like you were saying, and getting my shrunk emotion. So, you know, I definitely play a little bit each day. I try not to forget, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so let's move on to what I've been playing, even though I kind of went in there a minute ago. I did finally beat Oracle of Ages.
Congratulations.
I know our big discussion about that was before they came out, and now I'm discussing it well after, but I just want to mention that because I was stuck around the Goron dancing area, and then I didn't play it for like a week and a half or 2 weeks, and then I was just like Goronade. I was just confused because the game gets really convoluted there, especially if you take a break. And then leads into what everyone kept complaining about was Dungeon Number 7, which is actually really badly designed, I think.
Which one is that?
That's Jabba Jabba's belly.
Yeah.
I think it's cool to have an homage to him by having him included in the game. But, yeah, the dungeon's just designed in a way that when you complete, like, a room, you don't necessarily have a reason to never go there again. So everything feels incomplete until you beat the actual whole dungeon.
Right, yeah.
Like, when I go through a dungeon, usually when there's a room that's filled in, especially if the compass is in my possession and there's no longer an icon there, I think pretty much I don't have to go there. At least I don't have to focus my energies there. But here in this dungeon, man, you could go through the whole thing three times, and if you just miss a turn when the water level's not at the right place, you're screwed. You'd have to go through every single room with every water level just to make sure you hit everything, and that could take forever. So that sucked. Definitely use the guide a little bit to get myself out of there, because I played that while I was camping, and when I had a little bit of internet for a second, I took some screen grabs on my phone of the game facts, you know, guide or whatever of that dungeon to help myself get through it when I needed it, because we had no power where we were staying. It was very rustic, and my 3DS was the most technologically complex item that's probably been in that place for ages. So, yeah. And then after you beat Dungeon 7, it's pretty quick. Even though I had the Link game, like, once you beat Dungeon 8 and you kind of beat the final boss, then you beat the extras content pretty quickly too.
Yeah, so there's not a ton.
So I finally was able to put my name up in the thread that we got, and that was cool. And remember me mentioning on the podcast how I grew up liking Seasons more than Ages?
Yeah.
And then that flipped?
Okay.
Well, I realized why I felt that way in the beginning, and I still feel that way. Seasons is still better, in my opinion. Yeah. Ages is nice in the beginning. It was a nice change of pace. But then it just was like, oh, this sucks. So.
Yep. And if you remember from that same conversation, I thought from my small experiences with the games previously that I liked Ages better, but I don't know what I was thinking, because having played them both recently, I certainly enjoyed Seasons a lot more. So.
And I do appreciate what Ages does with the time. It's different than Ocarina of Time because you can actually go back and forth freely. And but really all it is a glorified Dark World mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And
I liked some of the items better, like the mermaid suit thing. I thought that was really cool.
Yes, but when you get it, suddenly you can't just press A to swim. You have to tap.
Oh, yes.
And on the 3DS...
extremely frustrating.
On the 3DS, I tend to play my games with the slide pad because it works pretty well. Mm-hmm. And you can't really do that with this because it doesn't really work that well. You probably would break the slide pad if you kept trying to fiddle with it. So that was annoying. The mermaid suit is cool in concept, but not so cool in practice. And that's just a simple button press fix. But Seasons did have the better shooter. When I was trying to beat the boss in Ages, you know, it only shoots the one direction instead of the three. And that, you know, that kind of hindered things.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like seeing the claw shot or the long shot or whatever you want to call it. That thing returning.
Yeah, that thing was cool.
And although in this game it flips you, replace yourself.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
So that was unique. And so, I mean, yeah, I definitely don't think Ages is a bad game. It's just not the better game. And I would recommend people play it first when they play the two.
Yeah, that's what I should have
done. Get it over with and then enjoy Seasons with an amped up game a little bit. So, but yeah, so that's all I had to say on that, unless you want to add anything about it.
I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough. So, Backlogus is happening, and technically Oracle of Ages was part of my Backlogus, but there's another game that was on it that I knew I'd be able to play in like an hour, and so I got home from work, and instead of fiddling with the podcast, which I should have done, mm-hmm. You know, I unwound a little bit with this game before, you know, I had a bunch of other crap to do. And it's The Walking Dead 400 Days by mm-hmm. Telltale. So it's that bonus episode that they released, because season 2 is coming out in the fall still. Season 1 is the game that I raved about on the podcast months ago, and still is one of my greatest gaming experiences ever. And so I was psyched to finally play this because I had bought it on the day it came out, but that was partially when shit was hitting the fan around me and I just was not in the mood to sit down and focus on it, which I really wanted to do. So Backlog has kind of inspired me to sit down and do that finally. Unfortunately, transferring from one computer to the other back in May, I neglected to do this or whatever. I did not have my original save file. So I don't have any of my decisions that I made. My whole story with Clem and Lee is just gone. Which actually hit me in the balls a little bit because I got so emotionally invested in these characters. I never wanted to touch that save file again because, to me, that was like the sacred story of what happened. Now right. I fear that when I play it, I'm going to get a different experience and it's going to feel weird.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but I'll probably play it again because I don't think it matters too much with the 400 days downloadable content because there's no characters that... None of the characters are shared or anything. But the Season 1 and Season 2 are definitely... linked a little bit more from what we've heard, so I'll probably have to do it for that. Still, I went in and I played 400 Days, and it tells the story of five different people, and it kind of revolves vaguely around like a hotel truck stop type thing, like a diner, I guess, actually, and like a diner gas station. It kind of focuses on that, and you play each person, and you can play them in any order, and it tells a very short story of maybe like 15 minutes, and maybe 20 minutes, depending. And you just kind of experience from these different people. I don't really remember their names. Yeah, I don't remember their names. And I have a few screen grabs I took to remember some things, but they don't really describe anything. So, you know, you got a young black guy. You got this woman and her sister, I think, or maybe her daughter. I think it's her sister, though. Okay. And you've got some kind of hippie dude who's out with his friend. You've got an inmate who's on his way to jail in a prison bus, and he's kind of with two other prisoners. And that's actually the first one, because they all take place at different times in a 400-day span of the apocalypse starting. So you're getting a different perspective of the apocalypse starting and everything. And the guys in the prison, that's actually when everything starts going all, you know, crazy.
Uh-huh.
And so it was pretty cool to see that, and I tried to play I just kind of played left to right in terms of how you can choose the characters, and that was almost, you know, chronological order, but that really doesn't matter at all. Their lives intertwine only at the very end, and no matter what order you play, you'll play that segment last anyway.
Sure.
And but it was pretty cool. I mean, some characters I cared about more than others, and even in that short time, the game brought some hard-ass decisions. Like, there was this one... where it's the girl with the daughter, and you're in a camp, and a guy comes into our camp. He's like some Asian guy who doesn't even speak English, and they got him blindfolded when I see him, and they fear that he's, you know, he's not as feeble as he looks, and that when if we let him go, he's going to go tell people, and then we're going to get our asses murdered, and okay. and or we can kill him now, and then it's all right, because nobody, you know, will know, and I just didn't have the heart to do that to him, because I mean, he doesn't seem like a threat now, and I know that was a stupid decision in the apocalypse, but I'm also not a killer, so it's tough. And then I let him go, and of course that means that, well, a few weeks down the line, we got attacked. Apparently, some asshole died in my group. And I felt bad, because I think it's the guy who actually was siding with me, and he was pretty cool. But, so then, you know, the guy who's leading the camp, he's all locked us down, and he's all, you know, up his pooper about everything. And one of the other people in our group apparently tried to steal supplies and leave. He caught her, and now he's like, well, she's got to go. And it's kind of the same thing we just went through with the Asian guy. However, for some reason, the game forces me to have to be the one to kill her, or not. And I was thinking to myself, why don't you just do it? I mean, why do you have to, like, bring me into this?
Right.
And, which is not really the right way to think about someone's life anyway, but still, I was kind of pissed that I was being forced to make that decision. Luckily, it gives you an out. You can either escape yourself, or you can do the deed. And so I totally just stole the RV and got the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where her story ends, and then you don't see her again until the end, where everyone's kind of grouped together. All these different five characters who have their own separate lives meet up, and then they have one more final kind of scene to have, and that's what the end of the 400 days is. Okay. I don't know how much of an effect this is supposed to have on season 2, but I've heard that each one is supposed to have a subtle effect. So I don't know. It really did suck that I had to play this without season 1, just because in my head I feel like I'm missing something. Mm-hmm. And then if I was to play season 2, I'd be really missing something. So
sure.
And this may be lame, but in season 2, I'm probably going to try to play it as much as I did before, like in the same decisions, with season 1, just because, while that may be lame to like to see the same experience or try to recreate that experience, to me, that's the authentic Steve experience.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, I think a lot of people would probably disagree with this, but it makes sense to
like,
me. So.
Like, one thing that really sticks out in my mind, and spoiler alert for those who haven't played the first Walking Dead, and it is it's like an episode 5, so it's late in the series and whatever, but I'm about to say something, but you have a choice to cut your hand off or not, because it's infected. Okay. And, you know, it's a mechanism to try to save your life. And I chose to cut my hand off, because that seemed like the logical but painful decision to make. Mm-hmm. And from what I know, like, I mean, the visual for the rest of the episode, you're missing a freaking hand. And so, like, when you make a jump, that's a really important jump, you're only holding on with one arm instead of two. And I've heard or read that it doesn't matter what you do there. I mean, it changes how you experience the game, but as far as the end result, it doesn't matter. And so I guess in theory I could choose to keep my arm, but yeah, I just can't. I would feel like I'm cheating something, or I don't know, it's just so weird. I have to cut my hand off again. I've got to do it again. Maybe it's like the Lost thing, or all those movies about time travel, or Bioshock Infinite, kind of, you know, where this idea of, you know, realities and how things are just going to happen whether you want it or not. You can't really fight fate. So I want to kind of recreate that, and I'll probably end up replaying it. But that's kind of off topic, I guess. Walking Dead 400 Days was pretty cool. It was very short, very sweet. Gave me a little bit of a taste. And hopefully I can have the whole enchilada in the fall. I can't wait.
Cool.
So I think they're going to probably release each episode periodically, maybe within a week or two of each other. And I don't want that to happen, because I'm going to wait to the very end, I think. The fact that I was able to powerhouse through season 1 was amazing for the experience. Uh-huh. So I'd rather just do that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's that. And then the last game I've been playing, I've put a little bit of time into, is Pikmin 3.
Oh.
Even though I don't have a lot of time, I could not pass that up. It just looked too good. And I have no experience with the Pikmin games, as I've already said on the podcast.
Like, me 5 either.
Minutes with the first one and maybe 3 with the second. Uh-huh. And I don't care. I mean, I'm still kind of learning the ropes of managing my squad of Pikmin. And in this game, I know that there's a difference where you actually have multiple squads, and I feel like that could get kind of hectic and confusing. But, I don't know, whatever. I'm having a lot of fun. It's a beautiful-looking game. It's very charming. There's, I guess, a happy medium between the two older games concepts, where there are days, so you're limited by time, which wasn't the case in the second game, I think. But at the same time, you're not limited by, like, how many days you can actually play, like in the first game. Because in the first game, if you didn't beat the game in 30 days, you just lost. The game was over.
Right.
And that kind of sucks.
Now, did you just have to start over completely from scratch when that happened? In the other game?
Okay. I think so. I think in the second game, you were able... You may have been able to restart days. I don't know. But in the third one, you definitely can. So that's kind of nice. I can go back to any day I want and redo it. And then, of course, I'd start the game from that point. So it's kind of like how BioShock games will save at each new level, and you can go back if you want. It won't rewrite your save. It'll just make a new save. So you can kind of do that. And I don't really want to, because I don't want to go through 10 days and be like, you know what? Let's just scrap those 10 days. That's just not how games work for me. I like to have a linear experience generally. But it's nice to know that if I really screw up on a boss or something, instead of taking the punishment of losing all my Pikmin, I could retry again with a new tactic. So I maybe would go back one day or something. And here, you have to find fruit, which is really cool, just to see like a giant strawberry sitting around because of, you know, how big you are. And you have to collect fruit with your Pikmin amongst everything else you have to do. And these fruits turn into juice, which is sustenance for you. And right now I've got like 4 jars of juice, which means I have 4 days worth of energy. But if I don't find more fruit in 4 days, then I will perish and the game ends. Okay. So it does have kind of a ticking clock, but it's one that you can constantly push back. So there's a tension, but it's not necessarily forcing you to do it in a certain set time. And then, of course, if you don't find any fruit that day, and then you don't find it the next day, you can be like, oh, well, that doesn't really work for me. So you can go back a day and try to find fruit again. So you really have more control, but there's still pressure. So that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a pretty good balance.
The photo feature of the gamepad's pretty cool. It takes live photos if you want to, and you hold it up kind of like you would in a Pokemon Snap game or something, where you would just hold it up and move around and take a picture. And when you post it to Miiverse, it actually will tag your photos with whatever's in them. So I took a picture of the first boss defeated and kind of made a joke about it. And I realized that actually the Miiverse had tagged that boss's name onto it.
Interesting.
So that was kind of neat, yeah. It kind of helps people identify what they're seeing, especially considering the camera is from the viewpoint of your character, which is already in a big world and he's a small dude, or a small woman, depending on what character you're using. So you kind of have these very macro images often, and so to identify that, that's kind of helpful.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, so that's been a lot of fun. I definitely will have some time with it later this weekend. I'm helping my cousin move into his house tomorrow. But maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I got to get the podcast out, don't I? Well, you know, I don't, because anyone listening to this, they've already done it. They've already listened to it.
That's true.
So I won't dictate or hint at how I spent my time to get that out there. But I really do want to get it done. So that's my first priority.
I'd heard that I watched the game explain about Pikmin 3, and I think it was probably made months ago, but they brought up a question that you probably know the answer to. They were wondering about the titles of the days, because each day has a title, correct? Like when you look at your save file?
I'd have to double check, but... Okay.
Well, because, then you probably don't know the answer to this question.
Well, everything... I know it says Exploration Day 6, Day 7, that kind of thing, when you start. Now, at the end of each day, there's a little bit of like a Dear Diary type moment, and it fills in whatever you did that day. And I think if you didn't accomplish anything, it probably wouldn't have anything to say, but I found a certain item yesterday, in the game anyway. And so it kind of announced, or actually a different character was saying, well, I think his name is Alf. She was saying, is it Charlie? No, I think Alf is the character. So she's like, Alf found such and such, and so I'll write the diary for tonight because he's so excited to analyze this. And so I think that kind of, whenever you hit like a benchmark in the linear path of the game, because there is kind of a linear set of objectives. When you do something, well, that unlocks something else, right, or a new area. And so you are being pushed forward in some sort of perpetual motion, even though you can stray from it constantly. As far as names, though, I don't recall. I haven't spent enough time with it.
Well, because the thing it was getting at was it was trying to determine if, because it would have like a, you know, day two, Brittany's adventure or something like that. And it was trying to figure out if the days had certain objectives that were predetermined. Like, okay, when it's day two, you have to do this. Or if, and I think this is what basically, I think what you just sort of said was if the game retroactively looked at what you accomplished and then sort of put a little title on it, which, assuming it makes titles at all, if it has that function you were describing of, you know, writing out the day's events, then it probably would be based on that.
If my brain's remembering correctly, I think it does do that, but so say day two, Brittany's adventure, you don't succeed. It would say day three, Brittany's adventure. Yeah. Like, it probably has chapters for what current objective you're on. And then, I mean, it probably said something, once I found Brittany, because you had to find her initially, and once I found her, well, it was probably, you know, it probably had a different name until I hit that next checkpoint. So maybe those are a barometer of how you're doing.
Right.
But I can't recall, honestly.
Okay. Fair enough. Maybe you'll report back next time.
I'm trying to play it, you know, but I'm trying to also look at my backlog of games that I want to get done. I want to get Xenoblade done, and there's some DS games I forgot I have, like Luigi's Mansion 2 and the Professor Layton game. You know, those have sat in the back burner, so...
All good stuff.
Yeah, I've been keeping a log since the start of the year of what games I have beaten, and I've beaten 12 games so far this year, which is probably light compared to normal, but I also have a job, a girlfriend, a family, stuff to do, you know. But I don't know, that's kind of cool. I've been trying to do it for years, I just keep forgetting, and then halfway through the year I'm like, oh, when did I beat that? What? Ah, shoot, screw it.
Yeah, I know. But I used to do my own personal Game of the Year awards, and that was, it would be based on not what came out in that year, but what games I had played in that year. So even if it was, you know, an NES game, if I played it for the first time in that year, it would go in as a contender, you know?
Sure, your Game of the Year.
Exactly. But it's just basically the reason why that has sort of fallen apart is because, quite simply, I don't do what you have been doing, which is keep track of what games you played this year, and then I kind of forget, and then it gets a little murky, and yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, my list is very basic. It just has the month, and then I put the games I beat underneath it, and then I just put a tally of how many games that month. So January, I beat one game, February 2, March 3, April 2, May 0, June, July 1, and August 2 so far. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of nice to track that. I would encourage others, and then we can discuss it at the end of the year, maybe.
Yeah, maybe for 2014 it will be a good idea.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll talk about it myself at least at the end of the year. So far, honestly, some of these games were really memorable, and some of them were just stinkers.
Okay.
Even ones that I wanted to enjoy a lot just weren't, you know?
Yeah.
So, but we won't get into that. How about we take a break, and then we'll spend a little bit of time we got left in the podcast discussing the Nintendo Direct that happened on Wednesday. And, yeah, see if you got any thoughts. And we're back. Did you miss us? So we'll talk about the Nintendo Direct. There isn't really much to say. I definitely was taking notes. I was watching at work, or listening at work. I wasn't watching anything, quote unquote. I was working. But I don't know, I get excited every time there's a Nintendo Direct, frankly. And I was kind of not excited in like some sadistic dickish way, but I really was thinking people were gonna overblow this one. Because not every Nintendo Direct has to have a bunch of new shit and, like, wow us. I think because of the E3, and actually we had some really good stuff in January, but people kind of assume that Nintendo Directs are there to blow our minds, and they don't. I get so confused why some people get so worked up for them, and then they're so let down afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, this one had a lot of little tidbits, and in some ways, a lot of the new information was actually just new footage or maybe some subtle points reiterated and maybe fleshed out a little bit. But it told us really nothing new, frankly. And it was still a fine Nintendo Direct. It was a fun half hour. I wish that they would do a weekly show, for God's sake. I would enjoy that.
Like a Nintendo Week, if you will.
Yeah, which they had before. With a really cute woman on it. I forgot her name.
I loved Nintendo Week. Allison something.
Yeah, she was adorable.
Yep.
But, and the other guy, the guy himself, he was pretty cool, too.
I liked the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah,
they were a good duo.
Yeah.
I don't know why that ended. But,
yeah, and then they had the Nintendo 3D show or whatever, and then that was not nearly as fun, but then they ended that, too.
But then admittedly, too, I don't know, it's tough to tell, because Nintendo Week was something that was not limited to your consoles, but I feel like that was for someone who already had the console, and Nintendo Directs, I'm still not sure if they're entirely for us, or if they're actually there to entice other people.
Right.
So maybe having Iwata, the president of the company, you know, dishing this out has a different feel than Nintendo Week does, which is kind of like a campy show where you're not going to hear anything new with Nintendo Week. It's more like an advertisement.
Yeah.
These feel a lot more like, hey, here's some inside information, you know. So I don't know, this works, and I guess it's better that they're not weekly, because they probably would outwear their welcome. But yeah, so
plus,
right now...
Plus, Iwata probably has other things to do.
I don't know. Well, they could, you know, trade off every week. It'd be Iwata, then Reggie, and then Bill Trennan, and they'll bring back Soccer Mom, what's her name?
Oh, my God. Cammy.
Yeah, Cammy Dunaway or whatever.
Yeah, no Cammy. It is amazing what an impact she had in only, what, like two E3s or something like that? And
I was kind of okay with her. I mean, she didn't bother me.
She's terrible.
I don't think she was horrible, but I also think that she didn't have the content.
No. Well, yeah, she was always...
Okay, they throw her into to talk about, like, what was it, Shaun White snowboarding or something?
That's the big one.
And, like, well, what if she was there talking about Pikmin? Maybe she would have did a better job. Maybe she would have been more interesting to us.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, I mean, E3, just no matter what company it is or who it is, I mean, it's so... It's really lame how just scripted it is and how they try to be all not scripted when it so obviously is. But so, like, when she was telling this stupid story about, like, oh, I broke my wrist. So it's just that kind
of
terrible dialogue that, you know,
she
maybe...
She probably got all excited, like, oh, I can relate to the gamers. I broke my wrist once.
Yeah. So, like, you know... Maybe it's not necessarily that she is like a bad person or a bad spokeswoman or anything, but, you know, the role that she was given was not...
You know, now I totally envision her as the Target character from SNL with Kristen Wiig. Anyway, let's not get off topic with Cammy.
Already were off topic.
I know.
Let's get back on topic.
So there's a lot, you know, I took some notes. There's a lot of things mentioned. Whether or not it's important to you is kind of up to you, I guess. So a few things that I have a few things listed that I want to talk about anyway. And if you want to be talking about it, then join the podcast. Come on. So first of all, the Sonic footage. That was the first thing they showed. 30 seconds in, you know, after, like, at the 20-second mark, Iwata's, like, putting his arms out in your face. And he's like, directly to you. And then right after that, it goes into Sonic footage. And so, that, you know, I like that. There was just kind of a immediate, let's get the show on the road kind of thing. And the footage showed pretty much what I thought was a Mario Galaxy demo with, like, a, hey, we got a Sonic mod going on. It was very green. It was Green Hill Zone-esque, but in, like, a Mario Galaxy form. And, you know, this actually appealed to me more. I haven't seen too much of the game up to this point, but I think that that this could be a game I actually buy, as long as there's not too much cheesy... dialogue and characters and stuff. If it's pure, unadulterated, you know, 2D yet 3D platforming with Sonic like this, I could really be into it.
Yeah, I was already sold on the game. I mean, I have no idea when I'll be able to pick it up, but, I mean, Well, I know we've talked about Sonic Colors many times on this podcast, but I think they have officially figured out what to do with Sonic, at least on Nintendo console. So, and this game looks to be somewhat of a continuation of that, but obviously, as you said, with a heavy, heavy Mario Galaxy influence. And I just, you know, maybe I'll regret saying this later, but I don't see how it could go wrong. I mean, it looks like such a great game, and it looks like so fun.
Well, if you think about it, it's kind of like the Yoshi segments from Mario Galaxy 2, but the entire game is just fast running.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of promise to that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think, you know, that one of the major things that they got right in Sonic Colors was the use of these, the wisps, which I think maybe now they're just calling the colors or color powers or something like that. But, you know, basically it's the exact same concept as Mario's suits, you know? So, you know, in that sense, it's absolutely nothing new, but it is somewhat new to the Sonic franchise because Sonic generally, you know, his power-ups are limited to just basically what would be a shield or, you know, something that makes him run faster or something like that. So now that each one has like unique functions that can then, you know, unlock different, you know, features in it throughout a level.
I'm pretty sure the first one you get is it makes Sonic games suck less.
Oh.
Which is a great first power up. Yeah. this is the Price is Right winning horn, I think, coming up.
Because, yeah.
It does look pretty good. And it comes out October 22nd, which I think we knew. Hmm. I don't know if you were aware of that, but
I was aware of some, yeah, some kind of time frame like that. Maybe now, we didn't have the exact day, but I think we knew October.
This won't be some sort of insta-buy for me, because you got Pokemon coming out around then.
Oh, no.
The Wind Waker thing's coming out then, too, if I decide to get that. But I got a lot of stuff on my plate, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on this.
Yeah. I think what's weird is looking at the Wii U versions and the 3DS version, this might be one of the few times when I am at least interested in buying both platforms' version of, you know, what is supposedly the same game. So we'll see just how different they are. I may end up doing that again once I find some money.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. There also was discussion about Art Academy, Sketchpad or something like that? Yeah, Art Academy Sketchpad, which actually is out right now. I haven't checked it myself, but it was said to be available August 9th. And Friday is kind of a weird date for them to do that in America, but... and I can't draw very well. I mean, I'm not horrible, but, like, I don't have that mindset to create really cool things like everyone else on Miiverse. Mm-hmm. But I think I might still pick this up myself, because I love having the tools at my disposal regardless. And right. I can't wait. Like, literally right now, I know you don't know this because you haven't had the Wii U, but Miiverse has just changed. In one fell swoop, it's changed.
Oh, yeah.
Because all the art, the next time I put it the Wii U, it's going to be even better than it was before, because people have been doing some really great simple art with just the single pen stroke or whatever your stylus. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to have colors. They're going to have pressures. I'm not sure to what degree... Well, I think because this game, Sketchpad, is actually just more or less a set of tools to use with the Miiverse when they're actually going to create a full game to download later, which will have actual lessons and such. It's limited in that respect, but for those who crave more, who actually want to maybe learn how to draw things better, especially using the tablet, which is pretty much perfect for it, you can expect that to come out soon. They didn't really touch upon that, but they did focus on the new tools, and they look great, and I cannot wait to see some really fantastic Nintendo art.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've talked before how Miiverse is definitely one of the most appealing features of the Wii U, and I think having something like this that'll only augment that experience is pretty darn exciting.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much it costs. It might not even cost anything, actually. I'm trying to think. It might be, because I know Nintendo wants to encourage people to do these pieces of art, and they want people to encourage, or they want to encourage people to use the colors and use the new tools at their disposal, because it just makes the Miiverse more advertisable and more enticing for anyone. Mm-hmm. Some people might even think, well, I want a Wii U just because I know it's got great games, but that Miiverse thing, like, looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And So I'm hoping it's free. I don't know, but they don't have a price on the Nintendo Direct, as I have it playing right now, muted on my computer, so I can't verify.
Well, you know, I mean, I've, to that point, like, I've heard a lot of people who are not Nintendo refer to Miiverse as Nintendo's social network, or mm-hmm. Nintendo's take on a social network. Now, would you put it in that category or use that terminology? Because it seems to be something that is completely different in terms of its purpose than a social network, right? I mean,
it, well, in my head, I just thought to myself, abso-fucking-tutely. But yeah, I mean, that's the short version of it. It's Nintendo's Twitter.
Okay.
Flat out.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
It's not a social network in the sense of Facebook, where you're like trying to collect. Sorry, my voice is going a little bit here.
Yep.
Facebook, I see that as like a conglomerate collection. Oh, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but just, I feel like it's like a black hole sucking everything in. I mean, I even have one. I don't want one, but I have one for the fact that I need it to keep up with certain people who otherwise I wouldn't be able to keep, you know, just an eye on their lives and kind of stay in a basic touch that I want to.
Right.
While Twitter is more like broadcasting.
Yeah.
So you're dishing your information out. You're well aware it's not protected unless you really want it to be, but you're trying to just share with the world. While Facebook, I feel like you're sharing with your network, and you don't want to be outside that, and you're pissed off whenever they try to change things around, and you accidentally are sharing everything. And also, I feel like Facebook is there to collect about you, while Twitter is there to just be a platform for personal advertisement or other advertisement or whatever. Share.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of what I was getting at. And obviously, Twitter is definitely considered a quote-unquote social network,
yeah.
But I was thinking of it more along the lines of something like Facebook, where it's like, you know, where you're trying to present something that represents you and your life. And so, you know, so that someone who, say, doesn't know you could look at it and get a sense of who you are and what you're about. Whereas, you know, Twitter is basically just whatever you're thinking at the time. And sure, you could piece it together, but it's not really designed for...
Yeah. Absolutely.
For representation purposes. And I just didn't see Miiverse as being that either. So.
The Miiverse, well, wait, so you don't feel it's like Facebook or Twitter?
Oh, no. I just don't feel it's like Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could see where someone could look at my Miiverse feed and get an idea about me, but they only get an idea about me about my game preferences and my game play styles, which is great because that's all I want to share on that thing anyway.
Sure.
The Miiverse is something that where I can take a screenshot from Peekvin and be like, this is really cool, and I can push it to people just so people can see it, and then that's it. That's all I know about me is that I loved this Bulborb's face that I took in Peekvin, or, you know? Or when I beat new Super Luigi or whatever, and I took this kind of funny picture of the end boss, and which, spoiler alert, I wonder who that was. But I took a picture of the end boss, and it was kind of funny. I put a funny caption, and like I put my wit and the screen grab out there. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's nice, because, like, no offense to the negative world or anything, but I get some personal interaction with you guys on the boards, and I appreciate that. That's what's kind of nice about negative world. It's not close-knit in the sense that we don't let others in or anything like that, but we try to be friends with each other, real friends. That's why we have the now yearly get-togethers that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because... I'm going to be passing through Chicago soon, and I might even, if I have time, maybe I can hang out with Zero, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That seems weird to me, because I wouldn't have been able to do that on Facebook if it was just more open, or like any of my Twitter friends, I wouldn't feel that connection with them.
Right.
I kind of forgot where I was going with this. I got too caught up thinking about hanging out with Zero.
Understandable.
Really.
I think it's quite an experience.
That arcade bar I do want to hit up, though. I don't think I'll be able to, but I'd like to.
True.
Anyway, but with Nintendo's Miiverse, I feel like it's a very gaming-oriented thing, and so that's all I get to put out there, and that's all I want to put out there, and that heightens my gaming experience to see what others... Like, I don't care to see what someone else thinks about, like, abortion or something on Miiverse. You know what I mean?
No, that's not a big topic.
Right. It's not a big topic on there. Instead, I get to see... you know, Yoshi and Mario running around Dinosaur Land, you know, because someone draws the art and it's beautiful, or someone shoves a Bulborb in my face. You know, that's what I want to see, and that's what's great about the Miiverse. And So it is like Twitter in that sense. It's not like Facebook, but there's a light social network aspect to it, but you don't have to check in every day either. I think that's something nice too. With Facebook, I feel like you're not getting the full experience unless you're constantly mining yourself for data and trying to see what everyone else is doing. What are you eating? You blah, blah.
Can't even possibly approach it that way, I don't think.
So I think Nintendo struck gold with the Miiverse, frankly.
Yeah.
And once they hook it up with the 3DS, which is supposedly supposed to happen around the end of the year, they haven't talked about it in a while, but they had hinted about it for like early 2014 or whatever.
Yep.
That'll be perfect.
That would be outstanding.
It would be great.
That'd be so cool.
So, I mean, we kind of got off tangent, I guess, for the art thing. Well, you asked a legitimate question, and I mentioned abortion. So, not really, it's kind of my fault, I guess, but I think it's great, and the Art Academy thing is just another way to just really make it better. Mm-hmm. And once they do the Flipnote thing on 3DS is what they're doing, mm-hmm. it'd be cool to see you be able to upload those to Miiverse. So hopefully, you know, that way you could see, even though they wouldn't be 3D, you'd be able to see the images, the little movies on your Miiverse, on your HD TV. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of potential still here with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else happened? Animal Crossing New Leaf has downloadable content coming. Now, there's the Best Buy stuff, which actually ends tomorrow, so if you're listening to this, it's already done. But it is catalogable and purchasable, so...
Alright, I don't even know the first thing about this, so inform me on this. What is the DLC, and what is this Best Buy thing? Like, I guess I've heard of it, but I don't know.
You go to Best Buy, and then you go to Isabel, or no, you go to the post office. And you click on a certain menu item, it then it's like searches for, you know, whatever the hell's in the ether, whatever it picks up, and it'll pick up Best Buy's network, and then you'll be able to download an item. You'll get a free item. Okay. And I missed the rolling suitcase, but again, I can get that from somebody. But I got the cat tower and the raccoon wall clock, and then right now is the double neck guitar. Now, a funny thing is, you can actually rename your router to like Best Buy, I think in all caps, and that's it. And then and it'll work.
Oh god.
As long as you turn off the security. So that seems like a glitch that I don't know if they've fixed yet, but that's now funny. Starting right now or no, starting very soon. It might be at the very end of the Best Buy stuff. But if you go to a Nintendo Zone, which is like McDonald's and all these other places, I think Game Dad Grant went to a FedEx location and they had it.
Weird.
But if you go to a Nintendo Zone and you do the same thing where you go to the post office and you talk to whoever, you'll get an item. And so they just announced that they're doing some more American DLC, and every 2-3 weeks or whatever it's changing up. Or I think it's like 2 weeks because there's 4 items and it goes to the end of September. Mm. So yeah, that's all you gotta do. So go to McDonald's and don't eat the food, just get the
content. Yep.
I found out that there's tons of chemicals in the milkshakes, mm-hmm. and then that bummed me out, so I don't really feel the need to ever go there again.
I think pretty much all fast food is...
I know, but it's just like, chemicals. The milkshakes are really good, and they're full of chemicals.
Yeah.
Why can't they be full of milk?
that's
you know, like...
That was brilliant.
So, anyway, I don't want to digress into that. Animal Crossing related as well. They mentioned the plaza, which, have you seen anything about this, man?
Well, I've seen a little bit of it. I think I know as much as that it's based on sort of the characters in the games that you can like view them and post about them or something.
It is an app that is separate from anything else, so it runs like an application, and it is Wirewire Plaza, which is the name of the plaza that you boot up to your boot screen on the Wii U. Mm-hmm. Where all the people are and stuff, but it's actually it's just all characters from Animal Crossing. Okay. And they're talking about themselves, and you can click on any one of them, and then it kind of zooms in on them and shows them, and they're in beautiful HD, which of course for an Animal Crossing, the art design's not really intended for HD, but at the same time, the lighting is really nice on the characters, the textures are probably could do a little work, but they're very nice, obviously because they expect you to zoom in on these things. Mm-hmm. And you can select it as one of, like, whatever guy is your favorite, or you can, you can post about them on Miiverse, and it'll just post to the Animal Crossing community that's on there now, but it'll put a little tag of the character that you chose, and then you can talk about that character. You can upload your pictures from your 3DS by putting your SD card in your Wii U, and then you can actually post pictures that you took on the 3DS to the Miiverse, and you can even focus it with those characters. And it's a little convoluted in that respect, but it's still really awesome to see all these characters. The thing is filled with the hundreds of characters that there are, mm-hmm. all around pretty much the tree that you find in Animal Crossing New Leaf. Uh-huh. And it's all in HD, and the textures are nice, and the music is very, very nice, and it's subtle, but it's such a cool hint at what's to come. Like, they cannot, now that they've released it, they cannot go to a lesser graphical fidelity than they have here.
Right.
Or that would just piss the world off, so, and yes, well, the whole world.
Vladimir Putin weighs in. Maybe this was a dumb question, but so is it just then a foregone conclusion that like a Wii U Animal Crossing will be coming soon?
It's fully expected. There's no confirmedness, because why would they? Confirmation is probably the English word.
Yeah, they have another word.
sometimes I just don't give a shit, but the okay. confirmation does not exist. However, it's implied because of the way that the series has always gone. You had your GameCube version, then your DS version, then your Wii version, now your 3DS version. It right. tends to bounce. And
how many years between most of those bounces?
About three.
Okay. All right. So and you think they'll go 2 or 3 years before?
Well, this app will not work anymore after 2014.
What?
They said it'll work through the end of 2014. So that makes people wonder, well, are they already working on a Wii U version?
Sure.
To have for, say, April of 2015 or something.
Right, right.
And that would be kind of cool. Mm. Because by then, everyone who at least got in on the 3DS version right now will be definitely burnt out by it. And, I mean, just pains me to say, very few people actually make it that long. And a new coat of paint.
You're wrong.
Okay. I hope you do. I hope you do.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't be kidding. But so an HD coat of paint and, you know, more upgrades will definitely entice me to come back. I already know Mr. Mustache is on board. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm sure you would be too if it was, you know, full of content enough. So, and the boards are aflame with tons of people playing this. So Nintendo could have another hit on their hands if they do it right. And I think timing it for 2015 is probably even maybe a little soon. Mm. Like maybe mid-2015 when there's been 2 solid years. I don't know if I'd want to play this again just a year and a half later.
Well, I'm kind of thinking how soon it is would really for me depend on how much of what I'm doing now could carry over. Because I know that there were things you could import from the DS game, no, into City Folk.
You could import your character, I think, and I think it was kind of limited, though.
Okay.
I don't feel... You couldn't, like, send all your items over or anything like that.
Okay. Well, that would certainly make it more worthwhile for me. Because, like, I wouldn't... You know, if, as you said, it had been several years and I had, like, completely, you know, concluded my experience with this game and I was just totally ready to move on to something brand new, then, yeah, you know, bring it on. But if it was more recent... Or should I say, you know, closer in the future, then it might be cool if I could, you know, carry some of this over and kind of have a, you know, a little like bridge to that next experience where I don't know what it would be, but maybe if like some of my bells or some of my items could transfer or something.
Yeah.
But obviously, hopefully the overall game would still have a lot of other new things to offer, because I know that was one of the major complaints about the transition from, I think it was Wild World City Folk, right? It was too mm-hmm. similar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, significantly so.
Yeah.
For anyone who was playing both. Mm-hmm. For anyone who was just playing console versions, it was a huge upgrade, and it came way late.
Sure.
So. A quick note, I did realize that I wrote down that August 11th, which again is probably already elapsed since you're hearing this, but that is the pumpkin pie, and that's when the Animal Crossing downloadable content starts. So, yeah, it is the day after the Best Buy stuff's done.
I see.
So, that's kind of neat.
Sure.
And pumpkin pie would have been perfect for my date room.
The turkey.
But, so now that I have a turkey, I'll probably put the pumpkin pie there and give back those New Year's noodles.
Probably.
And, so that'll be cool. again, a lot of other things were mentioned. Pokemon Rumble was mentioned. Mario Luigi Dream Team was mentioned, which that's out by the time you're hearing this. Rayman details, still. the two things that I just want to mention, I guess, really quick. Luigi was announced in Smash Brothers, so mind blow.
Yep.
But
I can't believe it.
It was a cute way to do it, though. The way that they used that day to kind of say, hey, you're Luigi, just to jab it in your head some more. Mm-hmm. He's in Smash Brothers, and they actually released some cool screenshots, including him. So that's cool. He looks great. And seeing his character model in the 3DS version and seeing a little bit more of that, just a subtle bit, kind of just making me want that more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I'll know for sure once I find out what the differences really are in between the two games, because I'm definitely going to get the Wii U version, hands down. That's a must-buy. I'd put my money down right now for it. But the 3DS version, I'm sort of not sold on, but I am. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that I want to mention anyway, even though they did, again, had a lot of stuff to discuss, is the Link Between Worlds, or A Link Between Worlds, the next Zelda game for the handhelds. They showed a lot of new footage, and a lot of new details kind of came out. Vague, but new. Iwata reiterated that the overworld looks the same, and that's true, because much of it actually is. However, the dungeons, all the dungeons are brand new. So even though we've seen in previous footage, like, a similar boss in a similar room, I'm guessing it, like, parts of that dungeon are completely remade, and they just kind of did that to pay homage.
Right.
And the dark world, or he didn't really call it a dark world, but he implied that whatever that is,
a world that is dark.
Yeah, a darker world is completely new as well. So I'm thinking Hyrule will feel and look the same, but when you go into that dark world, which probably has a lot of content, it's very much different than we remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I mean,
that'd be neat.
I don't see why, even if it was the same, it wouldn't. They're not remaking the game, so I think there'll be enough new content to satisfy people.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I like a little continuity in my Zelda game, so I really won't complain if the overworld's the same. I mean, it's not like I even remember it to a T. It'll feel more familiar, but it won't feel like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to turn left and see that guy there, you know?
Right.
So that was kind of nice that they showed that. Okay. The next Nintendo Direct, whenever that is, I would really like to see something new, something surprising, because nothing in this one was surprising, but definitely it was just enjoyable to have kind of an update. I appreciate Nintendo giving us the, hey, heads up, here's a couple of new tidbits.
Yeah, I think it's nice because for a lot of the games, like, you know, when they've, because they had one that featured Wonderful 101 recently.
That was today.
And for Pikmin, you know, it's nice that these games are getting some attention because I think this is the type of game that normally people would say, like, oh, well, Nintendo's not really promoting them enough because it's not Mario and yada yada. So,
right. You
know, I think Nintendo Direct, even if they don't have a bunch of surprises, as you mentioned, and even if they, you know, coming out with a lot of frequency, you know, it's just a means of reminding people about these games that might otherwise get forgotten about.
Well, if you think about it, Nintendo Power didn't always have exclusives, you know, so you might get an issue where there was just more screenshots and an interview with somebody and just kind of an update.
Yeah.
And there is no more Nintendo-focused magazines out there, at least in the States.
Yeah.
And so you have that hindrance as far as Nintendo getting their information out there. Then you also, by having Nintendo Directs directly to you, you don't have to have it filtered through IGN, who is pretty known for bias, and other places that kind of may take your message and filter it in a way that you may not want.
Yeah.
So I love getting it straight from Iwata's mouth, and that sounds wrong. and you know, I mean, but I'm kind of an unfiltered Nintendo fan. I like other things, but I am Nintendo to the bone. And so this just really appeals to me. So, I mean, every time on the podcast, I'll gush about it because, you know, I enjoy getting this information in this way, in these periods. And the Wonderful 101 today, now, I guess that'll be the last thing we'll mention, then we should probably sign off here shortly. We're running out of time, but that actually made me want the game less.
Really?
Which blew my mind that that happened. Because, not because the game looks bad. The game looks amazing. It looks fun. And I know this is contradictory sounding, but...
Yeah, I'm waiting for the but.
But, I don't think I would enjoy the gameplay that much. It looks fun for what it is, but I had no interest in Beautiful Joe. I don't really care for beat-em-ups. Even if this one's kind of got the cool sword and gun and all those kind of cool like maneuvers that you can do and you can combine, it looks cool as a spectacle to me, but I really don't know if I would have fun going through it. And they emphasized the fact that when a level's done, you can go through it again to try to like get better scores in different categories, like how fast you did it or how little damage. And I've never really been a fan of going through a level again just to like avoid getting hit less.
Sure. Yeah.
Those kind of challenges don't appeal to me. So while this game looks great, I hope it sells like gangbusters. I don't think I'm going to be one of them, at least not up front. I definitely don't want to pay full price for this game. $20 down the line, I definitely might pick it up on a whim. But yeah, so I had an opposite reaction to what I was expecting from this. I was kind of excited to see it. And they had been talking about this special Nintendo Direct for months now. So I was quite surprised. And I think one thing that did bother me, too, every, like, 5 seconds, the guy was saying, The Wonderful 101, coming out September 15th, or whatever. And every, like, little segment they did where they told you something, they ended it with that, and I was like, really? You gotta, like, repeat it so much? Mm-hmm. Now, and at that point, it felt like, instead of kind of an expose on, like, I'd seen a magazine, it felt like it went from magazine article, or magazine, what am I thinking, feature, to the next page in a magazine where you'd see the stupid advertisement.
Right.
You know, of like Mortal Kombat, two kids playing in front of the TV and blood dripping. Like, suddenly, it just instead of it being a thoughtful article about Mortal Kombat, it just became the stupid two kids in front of the TV ad. Uh-huh. Like, the blue light's coming at you or something, you know, because that's how the advertising was back then, you know.
Yeah, well, I know.
Like an overturned, empty, like Mountain Dew bottle sitting, but just enough so you can't see the logo. And But so it kind of turned me off a little bit, but I can totally see the quality in the game. And again, maybe I'll be persuaded otherwise, but right now, I don't have time for that. I mean, I'm going to be out of the state again in early September, and the day I get back will be the day it comes out, and I can't see myself running to the store to buy it. Mm-hmm. Now when I'm going to have Peekman still sitting here and podcast to edit and shit, you know? So, I mean, anything else you want to add about Wonderful 101, or...?
No, not really. I was just going to say that, you know, I think... because I used to tune into the Nintendo Directs, pretty much up until after E3, you know, I would just, you know, I'd be right there almost like have fresh popcorn in my hand, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I think because, I mean, I just don't expect there to be new surprises. Like, you were talking about how, you know, some people you're surprised that they are a little shocked that there's not all these, you know, huge reveals, but, I think just the way that video game companies work, like everything is laid out from now till the end of the year, till after the holidays,
sure.
and usually well into the spring. So, like, they're just not gonna drop any mega announcements right now. I mean, I think it's so rare that ever happens.
Yeah, and they definitely emphasized that they wanted to talk about 2013 titles, mm-hmm. and some people thought that they had heard that they were going to talk about new titles, but. Frankly, I don't think Nintendo's got anything up their sleeve anymore.
No.
This is it, and then they're focusing right now on surprising us for yeah, like you said, spring.
Yeah.
You know, what else is going to be paired with Smash Brothers? Smash Brothers probably won't come out in the spring, but Mario Kart, you know.
Yeah, exactly. They'll probably just start dripping out information on Kart and Smash, which I think will go very well for mm-hmm. them.
Well, yeah, they're going to have the new Mario game in December, and then Mario Kart's probably April. And then Smash will be probably the end of the year, hopefully sooner, but...
Yeah.
All right, with that, I guess we shall move on to the conclusion, which, that wraps up another episode of the Negative World Podcast. Please listen to the end of any other podcast that we've produced and hear the same exact thing if you'd like your conclusion today. Try episodes 1 through 50, not 1 through 150. No, I probably should rewrite this. I use the same script all the time just because it's easy to get through. Yeah. So we really would like you to comment on what you've heard on negativeworld.org. Simply find the thread associated to this episode. If you don't want to subscribe to Negative World, you can reach us through the Facebook page. Simply search for negativeworld.org. Or, and this is a big or,
good,
you can follow us on Twitter at @negative_world. Please subscribe to the Enhanced Podcast. I think some podcasts tell you to write reviews for them, and I know that probably matters, but I don't know. Do it if you like us.
But
if
we don't care about what matters.
Yeah. If you don't like us, stop listening and don't write a bad review.
Yeah. And why are you still listening?
Because you like us. You do.
You do.
Yeah. Look at this guy. He likes us.
Hey.
Right now, somebody's blushing out there. I know it. I guess one plug I'll do really quick is backlogist, because this episode better go out in August, for God's sake. Backlogist is going on. We've got a lot of people doing it right now. And, you know, it's pretty simple this year, even a little bit simpler than it was last year. We're just posting games that have been in our backlogs, and we're trying to knock them out. And we're trying to support each other and trying to talk about them. Hell, I should rip out Golden Sun 3. That little ditty's been haunting my dreams for like 4 years now or something.
Yeah.
Maybe two or three, I don't know. But yeah, so it felt pretty good to run and share about my Oracle of Ages success and all that. And I can't wait to sometime this month to say, hey, Xenoblade is done. True. I can't wait. That's my prime goal. So are you doing anything with Backlogist?
Nope.
Okay. Start.
I don't like to have, like, I already put enough pressure on myself to finish games. I don't need any outside.
One's pressuring anybody. Let me get that straight. Nobody, I mean, technically gives a shit. But we just, you know, we're just there to discuss it. That's all it is. Like, no, we're not tracking anything. The only thing I've kind of held loose kind of conceive is just you know, you just tell us whatever games you're playing, and then when you beat one, you put it there, but we're not keeping track of who's beating what or how many people are succeeding. You know, there's no stats or anything like that. So I mean, I guess if just it's the same pressure as if you just went into the daily chat thread and said, you know, I had a lot of fun with this game today, I'm gonna try to beat it. You know, I mean,
that's too much pressure.
Man, your life is interesting.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about that.
You teach students, for God's sake. I think you experience a lot of pressures that you can handle, so.
Yeah, true.
Anyway. But, whatever. We can have our own backlog, it's just you and me.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe I will check it out. I just, because, as I told you, you know, I've moved recently, and our new apartment is, like, about half the size of our previous one, so a lot of my retro consoles went into storage. But in that process, I sort of took, instead of displaying all of my games, most all of them went into storage except for the ones that are remaining from my backlog for all the different consoles. So it actually kind of helps with any backlog progress, because now I just have one pile of backlog games and I can just look at it and be like, oh, I should play Echo the Dolphin because I bought it a year ago and I really want to play it. And then just pull the Genesis out of storage and then play it. So maybe August will be a good time for me to do that.
Yeah, that's backlogged.
Yep.
Well, we'll hear about that next time, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So thanks, Joe, for joining me once again.
Thank you.
An excellent co-host.
For being joined by me once again.
I really had no word in the matter.
Nope.
Thank you to listeners for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
I love how I'm like, let's do a short one, and then it never happens.
Yeah, it never ever happens.
That's because there's no milk in the milkshakes. Hey, that should be the title. No milk in the milkshakes.
Do it.
All right, I'll do it.